Oh, it's from my casa. You're skinny people. What's up, brother?
What up with it, yo?
Hey, Combo, good to see you. Welcome to my humble abode.
Good deal, mover. Good deal.
Yo, Bash, hey.
Oh, cool crib, man. Hey, it echoes. Hello? Hello? Holla, holla, holla.
All right, let me give you a virtual tour, okay? So, plasma. You go right here. Probably like 50 inch, you know, wall mounted.
Plasma rocks it over LCD, yo.
Nah, they burn in, yo.
All right. But the picture's like way sharper. Blacks are deeper, too.
They got 3D coming out like any day now. That's what I'm waiting for. Porn, cuz, you know? Like 3D Tatas, like right in your face.
Yeah, so I'm gonna get a couple of those, you know, zero gravity chairs for like right here, you know, for your ultimate viewing comfort.
Those are book.
It's gonna be pretty much sparse, you know, very Asian-y, modern stuff.
Feng shui, yo. I can dig it.
Yeah, thinking, you know, just a bunch of candles, maybe one of those little fountain jobs right here. It's gonna be chill.
The ladies, they cream up real nice for like candles and shit.
Ah, you are going to score big time.
All right, so how about we get, you know, down to it?
Hit it!
You're listening to Entertainment Landfill, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Okay, all cops, get out of your cars. Okay, I want to take a head count. Like, maybe we'll have some breakfast, back pink sandwiches while we're waiting. Okay, another thing, y'all went through the stop sign over there, okay? And that's a moving violation. And my brother and I, we have a lot of parking.
Hey, hold
it. What? My brother's coming in now, so all cops, come on up here now.
Sit. Here. Sit. Okay. Got a map?
Map.
Yeah, right here.
Okay, this is like an aerial view. Okay, take the 401. Take the 401 to Kitchener here, and then take Highway 6 north, okay? It goes right up here. That's the off-ramp. No, no, look. Right there. There's the off-ramp.
Don't forget to make a right at Highway 6, eh?
Yeah. Okay? So when you get there, you can have all the free beer and sausages you can eat.
What's up, brother?
That sounds like an earthquake out there.
Yeah, new sound system.
Whoa! Bodacious subwoofers, yo!
Serious cannons.
18 inches, 6 of them. Aluminum cones, so they're really, really, like, sonically neutral. Tweeters are killer, too.
Dig all them lines jumping around. Psychedelic. Kind of like just want to stare at them.
Yeah, man. Totally makes me want to crank old Sabbath and blaze one.
It's got, like, parametric equalization. Automatically adjusts the levels to changes in, like, air pressure and whatnot. It's a totally digital vacuum tube amp, which is by far the best anti-distortion-wise. It's 120 decibels without breaking a sweat. Hold on to your hats, bitches.
Thank you.
have you done with the disc?
What are you looking at me for? I don't got it.
Maybe it's out of gas, eh?
Oh! You farted!
No, it wasn't me. It was the chair, eh?
He's lying! No. Check the machine, eh?
I'm not lying.
He's lying, all right.
I don't need no machine to tell me that, eh?
I didn't do it, I swear.
Oh, jeez, don't slice cheese in here, will you?
Take off!
Boom goes the dynamite! Yes! Hey everyone! Welcome to Entertainment Landfill! Kinda a lot like Nowhere in Mulberry! It even has the same kind of mistakes and technical difficulties as the old show, right, Bill?
Yeah, this is the best kind.
And the same three people talking, so...
Yes, I am the Jaystrom. Okay, say Entertainment Landfill's the first time someone's ever listened to the show. Hi, I'm the Jaystrom. We do film, television, and pop culture talk here on Entertainment Landfill. It's called a landfill because we're all just, like,
garbage.
It's all information every day just piling on top of us. And it's all useless information, isn't it?
Right.
I mean... Harrison Ford doesn't want to talk about Star Wars. Jonathan Winters just died. What's in store for the next season of Walking Dead, even though it just ended and we don't care right now? It's just all this crap comes flooding in. You know, new set photos from Iron Man 3. Way too many. They're all spoilers. And it just keeps coming on and on and on. But that's what we cover here on the show, right? Or is it we're against this landfill? I don't know. What is our stance on this? But before we get into that, let me introduce my co-hosts. We have Steven the Pop Culture Zealot.
Hey,
hello, Steven.
How are you? Long time.
Fantastic, Steven. I haven't seen you in several months. No, I saw you last weekend. But we also have Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian.
Hey, I haven't seen you in several weeks.
How are you doing, Bill?
I am exhausted.
You know what's crazy is Bill came to visit us here in Mulberry. And it was really cool, wasn't it?
It was fun. I miss you guys. It was a great
time. I hope you had fun.
I did. I had a blast. I hated getting up that morning to get on the flight. I was like, oh, leaving Texas.
You had to leave pretty early that morning, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I think I had to get to the airport because I had to drop the car off and all that happy crap. And so I got up like around 7 a.m. and left around 8.
Bill got a taste of my life.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, how does?
But I was very, very happy that on the way back, because I was glad I got there early because that was the beginning of spring break. Yeah. So the check-in line at the security checkpoint was enormous. So I got there and luckily they waved me through. I didn't have to do all the like the scan, the body scan and all that stuff. So they just waved me straight through.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah, it was nice.
Good. And good food on the plane?
No food on the plane.
No food. They don't do that.
Do they not?
Yeah.
They don't
They come with like that little trolley cart that you can get something, and I only got water. And
what do you get? You know, can you get peanuts?
You could get things. There was somebody that got like a burger and it like stunk up the whole plane.
Was it nasty?
I would have to assume so. It was like, who the hell gets a burger on a 2-hour flight?
Yeah. The last plane I flew on was like to Las Vegas, and it was this little tiny square of like it had little Snickers and like a wrapped little tiny square sandwich or something. It was just like a joke, you know.
Generally, first class will get on flights like over 2.5 hours. You'll get a meal, but everybody else in the back just like starves.
Oh, that sucks.
You just get to smell it.
You're like,
it smells horrible.
Well, some of the first class meals aren't bad, but
Do you guys even know how long it's been since we did a show, like a live show?
Last time you posted one was January 28th?
Yeah.
Wow. So it had to have been like the 25th?
Yeah, January 28th. January 25th was the last time we did a show. Bread and Butter. Holy shit, January? What happened? That's the longest break in history.
Well, lots of happened.
Because, I mean, honestly, I think we were going to do a show the weekend after I got back.
Right.
Then that craziness happened.
Yeah, you basically your dad fell ill like the day you got back, right?
No, like the Friday I was still there. The day after I left, he said he started feeling like short of breath, and he waited until I got home on Monday to say anything about it. And I call his doctor, and his doctor's like, "Oh, he's, you know, there's something going around. He's probably just got some chest congestion." She's a really good doctor.
Should a doctor never just kind of blow shit off like that?
Yeah, exactly. So she goes, give him a couple Mucinex and come in the morning.
He's fine. I'm watching The Voice right now.
Yeah.
So we do that, and then we get there. We get to her office, and she's like, your lungs sound okay, but let me check your oxygen. It's like 79. She's like, oh, my gosh, get some O2 on him, 2 liters, stat. And then she calls a squad, and they take him off to the hospital and do all kinds of tests, and they find right-sided heart failure, and his lungs are all backed up with fluid. And so it was like he was in the hospital for 8 days getting all that fluid out of his lungs and getting his new orders of, like, what he needs to do, low-salt diet, stuff like that.
Right.
And then he went to a nursing facility, and I'm thinking, okay, this is over, you know, after about a week. And then 2 days in the nursing facility, and he's right back in the hospital because they didn't discharge him with the correct medications, and they were overdosing him on diabetic medication. So his blood sugar was, like, 22, 27, 31, basically, like, diabetic shock, coma, you know,
low sugar,
hypoglycemic. I was surprised he didn't pass out, and then he was in the hospital for another 3 days to get over that, and then back to the rehab facility to gain his strength back. So that's where he is now. And
Was it like, hey, I don't feel right, and they just kind of were like, oh, okay, we'll
yeah,
listen to
basically,
it.
He was loopy. I could tell. It was just he was really seriously loopy, and I was like, what is going on here? So I started checking his blood sugar, and it was just super, super low. And then the place is so strange. There's like 30 rooms to a wing, and for those 30 rooms, they have 2 aides and 1 nurse.
Wow.
So at any one time, there's only 2 nurses and 4 aides on staff of this entire building. And it's because of state regulations. It's obvious that whoever has the money that runs these nursing homes or rehab facilities obviously have an in at the state level so that they can pay the absolute minimum to run these places.
That sucks.
Yeah. So they just don't – they're not trained to do that stuff. It's – you know, only the nurse can hand out medication, and everyone else there is what they call a state-trained nursing aide, and that only takes like a handful of hours to even get approved, and you basically can't do anything except clean up poop.
Right now, my Aunt Judy is in a rehab facility, and it's the same one my grandmother died in.
Oh, and it's that's just, pleasant to visit.
Yeah, it really sucks, and it just looks really old and worn out, and...
Like, you know, a scummy hotel.
Pictures on the wall are all sun-bleached, you know? It's just...
There's a lady across from my dad's room that has, like, a Jesus shrine in her room. Every time I go out of the room, it's like I want to take a picture, but it looks like that picture of Kenny Loggins on the cover of that This Is It album. Like, the glowing behind him and his hands out and the rainbow and all that. And it's just... It's so comical. And the lady's like catatonic. She's not paying any attention to that. Right. She didn't put that up. So maybe it's some crazy holy roller family member put that in there. She probably doesn't even worship Jesus.
I don't even like Kenny Loggins.
I don't. I'm all right. No need to worry about me.
Well, Bill, my whole family enjoyed meeting you in person. and hanging out with you. And
I loved it. I got to cook breakfast with Emma.
Yeah.
And, we had a ton of fun.
Kind of forced your way in that morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was telling Steven, like, Bill brought flowers, and I went, for me? And it wasn't. Yep. It was for Heather and Emma. Where was the third bouquet?
You didn't get any.
Me neither.
You got sausage links.
It's sausages.
Sausages.
Yum, yum. You know, what's one thing that has been different with us being gone is our listeners, I mean, come on, we've spoiled the hell out of them.
Oh, my God, haven't we?
We're very consistent. We're pretty much consistent.
Yeah, the sausage.
Mm-hmm. But we've been gone a long time, and anyone who's still listening to the show or wants to listen to the show, thank you for hanging in there with us. I've been throwing in the last year's holiday pack, Bill. Those NIMH movie minis, hopefully to tide people over, like Gremlins, Die Hard, RoboCop, and The Goonies. So that was a good 4 weeks I could release shows, you know, until we could come back. But we're
I thought that was awesome. Some people hadn't heard those, and I thought that was plenty to last them. They should be more appreciative.
I mean, technically, okay, just to give you an idea, probably I'm going to say under 30 people probably heard those before that, and that was a year ago. And I knew if I put them on the feed, hell, there's way more people that didn't donate for those shows that could listen to them now a year later, and it's new material, so why not? Yeah. And I hope everybody enjoyed those. And
thank you to those who actually donated for them at one point.
Yes, that is awesome. And in fact, thank you to everyone who donated to our most recent pack with Jaws and Back to the Future and our Star Wars.
And you can still donate for those if you want to hear them. If maybe other NIMH minis intrigued you.
If you listen to these ones we've just released and you're like, yeah, these are pretty cool. Remember, you can still get those Jaws, Back to the Future. And there's even a Star Wars show where we talk about who will direct Star Wars. It's a little dated because we know who's going to direct Star Wars, but still.
It was pretty funny, some of our thoughts and insight into it that, you know, either turned into rumor or turned into fact.
Yeah, we mentioned J.J. Abrams in that show.
We do. And remember, I think you even mentioned Matthew Vaughn, and there was that whole thing
for two weeks
that everybody thought he was going to be the one doing it.
People thought Zack Snyder was going to do a samurai Star Wars one-shot movie.
That was quite possibly like one of the dumbest things I'd ever heard.
Yeah, that sounded like horse shit as soon as it was out, you know? It's all bullshit. Remember, most of the internet is bullshit.
Yes, it is.
But let's see, what have we been doing since the last time we did a show? Have you guys been watching shows and stuff?
Yep.
Watching the
not
new
me. Have you guys very seen- rarely. There's like a handful of shows that I still catch up on. Like,
yeah, I know, Bill, you've been like really busy.
Yeah, like I made sure I watched Justified and what else?
I love Justified this season.
Justified is really dark this season.
Oh, I love that show so much.
And even just the way it ended was like, oh man, this is like,
it's a
where
good
do we
show.
Go from here?
That's a show that's like you bite off a piece and you chew it, you know? Mm-hmm. Have you guys given Hannibal a chance yet?
I watched the first episode.
I think it's really well done.
It is. I can't wait to watch the second episode because the first episode, I was just like, holy shit, how are they getting away with this?
I don't know. I was thinking about movies that are rated R and how less bloody they are than that primetime show.
Yeah.
When they show like blood gushing out of a artery on your neck and shit.
That was pretty brutal. Hardcore. And being impaled on like a rack of horns. And
Was last night's the second show?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I watched that episode.
I only missed one.
Very disturbing episode last night. And you know what? I watched Southland every season for a while now. And I always liked that show. But this week has been like the most disturbing episode of that show, probably in many shows I've seen. It's just disturbing as hell.
That's a police show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where these tweakers are still in copper, you know, they're meth addicts, mm-hmm. and the cops come up on them. The tweakers get a jump on them, and they take them home, like way out in the desert on this compound, you know? And they're like freaking out. What are we going to do with these cops? We're going to have to kill them and we're going to have to bury them somewhere. And they're like, hey, look, it's okay. And they're like handcuffed in their underwear. And the guy's like, he's like, you guys got tracking devices on you. And he's like, no, we don't. And he goes, I'm going to look for tracking devices. And he gets out a blowtorch and he's going,
and he goes, my God.
He goes, where's the tracking device? We go, we don't have a tracking device. It's like really freaking scary. It's like the most horrifying hour of TV I've ever seen, you know? I was just like, holy shit. And then the next night, I watched last night's Hannibal, and I told Heather, I go, so do we just watch disturbing shit before bed now, or what? Like, shit, so, little scars.
Thursday night's the disturbing shit night. Monday night's the hate night.
Yeah, I was telling Bill that Monday night is hate watch night, where I watch Kevin Bacon in The Following.
Yeah.
The stupidest show on television. And then I watch, of course, Revolution, which hasn't been as annoying with the poor Danny. Spoiler alert, he got killed. It's so funny how he gets killed.
On his inhaler.
Dude, he gets killed in slow-mo, and they made it. I actually laughed out loud when he did, because he shoots down the helicopter with a rocket launcher, and, you know, the helicopter's going down, and the guy on the machine gun's, like, going, oh, and he goes, like, a slow-mo, and you see it go across Danny's chest. He's like, oh.
So that just kind of null and voided the first season,
yeah,
because
like,
they spent that all looking for him.
The whole point of the first part of the season was to find Danny, and then the episode they get back is like, he didn't matter at all. And even the character said, all that for nothing. And I was like, yep, pretty much. I felt like the writers were like, let's do over, okay?
it sounds like that's exactly what has happened, is the do over. Like, wow, this has gotten really out of hand. Let's bring it back on track.
Dial it back. And luckily, they've done a good job of like, you know what? Giancarlo Esposito is really good. Let's give him more scenes. Let's give him more to do, you know? Wow,
that's ingenious. I wonder where they got that from.
Let's give the young actors less to do. Give the adult actors more to do. That's the key. But, all sorts of shows. And we're going to talk
about Banshee. We got to mention Banshee.
Oh, I love Banshee.
That's
Cinemax.
One of those shows that it's almost like... I can only relate to it in like the Spartacus Blood and Sand manner.
Yeah.
Like first, I just started watching it because it was like goofy and sort of violent and over the top. And then as it went on, you got addicted to these characters. And now I'm in for the long haul. I hope it sticks around.
I hate to say it, but it has disturbing violence at times.
Yeah, it makes you feel skeevy.
Yeah, but at times, I mean, that's the kind of violence I like sometimes. It's kind of weird. I feel like there's something wrong with me. Like, there's this one fight he has with this MMA fighter who's also a rapist. And he's like, I'm taking you in. The MMA guy's like, come and try to, or whatever. So there's this long fight. What would you say? It's about 15 minutes long of just brutal bone snapping and shit like that. And
I think the fight that made me cringe the most was him and the albino in prison.
Yes, that was like that nightmare.
That entire episode was just super skeevy.
Yeah,
dealing with those flashbacks of that monstrous beast of a man.
It's a fun show. I like Banshee.
It is.
A lot.
I don't know if
like
I would call it fun.
It's fun
makes it sound lighthearted.
It's not lighthearted. No. It's fun in a sick bastard way, you know?
Yeah.
It's really disturbing, but I don't know. I'm just like, oh, that show's crazy, man.
Yeah, after it always makes me smile because its tongue is so firmly planted in its cheek that it loves those little ending stingers where if you stick around after the credits.
Yeah.
There's always something less.
It's
left.
It's very comic book like, you know, like. Yeah. But also, the main character gets the living shit kicked out of him every episode, and it seems like he's back to normal in the next episode.
Yeah, it's no swelling or anything.
Just like one little scab right here on his forehead. It's like, oh, he's all healed up. Wait,
got
was
a butterfly bandage.
He was shot last week, wasn't he? I guess it's healed up. Okay, he's good. He's a quick healer, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's like Wolverine.
Even the female character gets the shit beat out of her in the show.
Oh, my God, yeah. Well, she, within inches of her life.
But she's okay. She just needs a transfusion.
Yeah, she just bleeds a little bit. Like, yeah. that was one episode, I think it was like the second before the last, where she's in the hospital gown. She's had a gigantic stick stabbed through her kidney.
Oh, she's just bleeding a little
bit. That's it.
We have a lot of blood in our bodies, Bill. We don't need all of it.
Yeah, we don't. Just enough to keep the heart pumping.
Well, guess what? While we've been gone, we've actually had voicemail.
Really?
Yeah. We've had a couple of voicemails. And what do you say we check them out? Just catch up on some people. The first one is from Adam. Oh, I miss you, Adam. What's going on with you, yo? What's up, yo?
What's going on? Nowhere in Mulberry. Adam Howard here from the Bay Area calling to let you guys know that I really enjoy the last episode of NIMH. And it was really, really good. Thought it was funny. Had me cracking up a few times. And it just was neat to listen in on it. And I'm happy that it's changing, though. It's going to be cool. You know, it's going to be really neat. And it's not like it's a bit, I mean, it's not like it's this, like, thing that we have to, like, look back on with fondness. I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm a little flustered, I guess, but what I'm trying to say is I like the fact that it's going to be NIMH Presents, but I really do hope that the Entertainment Landfill will bring some more, you know, just bring you guys more podcasting success, you know, because there's no good reason why you guys can't be getting more listeners and more appreciation, more feedback, and more downloads. So anyways, it was cool to listen to the show. I'm happy. I can't believe it. I'm listening back in some old school episodes right now, and you guys are talking about how you're approaching episode 200. And it's just funny to, like, I think that Rick was on, or Jason was talking and saying, like, kind of like Rick's idea about going to 300, because you guys were, you know, saying you were going to quit at 200. And we're almost there, almost made it there, you know what I mean? I mean, at this point. But Entertainment Landfill is going to be awesome. I'm really looking forward to it. ETL, going to the ETL, that's what I'm going to call it.
Hell yeah.
And I'm very excited about it. But I'm listening back, like I said, to old shows, 198, I believe, 196 or something like that. And Sean's voicemail says, we want all the answers. I'm expecting all answers to to these questions. I want to interview with Foggy. And I remember episode 200 had a Foggy interview. And by the way, I think that Foggy and
sure did.
TRS-80 should get married, because it just seems like it would be a marriage, a match made in heaven.
Well, I forgot to
but anyway,
TRS-80.
But on this episode, you guys are talking about Smallville. And I'm like, man, I want you guys to start watching Smallville from episode one and talk about it on the show again. It's just gold. And then you guys were also talking about how Jonathan Anton was on some show where he was like a judge, and you guys were talking about how you really want to bring back, or you wish they would bring back Blowout. Man, I wish that show would come back on so bad, just so I could hear you guys talk about it. What is that guy doing? Maybe we can call him and get an interview from him or something. I don't know. But anyways, incoherent babble at this point. Keep up the good work. Have a good break. Do that Lethal Weapon movie mini. And,
I totally want to do that, Bill.
Yeah. Okay, bye.
What was the other one we were talking about? Commando?
Yes, Hannah suggested Commando.
Dude, that, I mean...
And I know we've talked about that before, because we both love our chainmail sweaters.
I think a while back I talked about how whenever it's on, I like, ooh, Commando, and turn on, and Heather goes, oh, God, no, not again. And I'm laughing through the whole thing, and it cracks me up. I love that movie.
We should do a whole series of 80s action films with Ray Don Chong.
But... there's so many things I love about Commando that are just—it's so cheesy.
My dad
it's beyond cheesy.
Body count in it.
My favorite is whenever he looks at his watch and it goes boop, boop, boop. I'm like, if your watch actually made that sound, it would drive you crazy, you know. But whenever he looks at his watch, it goes boop, boop, like really loud. It's like the audience gets it. It's a friggin' watch. We don't need a beeping sound. We're not that stupid. Yes, we are stupid. We went to see this movie, but we're not that stupid. And like when he does the "I let him go," you know, drops the guy, you see the wire in his leg every time. I don't know if it's in the widescreen version, though, but it, you know, we watched the 4x3 version for years.
That's the only version I think I've seen until the Blu-ray recently.
Yeah, I think long time ago you sent me a dupe of it, and it was fun. I watched it on like the Xbox.
Mm.
But man, that's a fun movie. We'll definitely, I have a lot to talk about that movie.
Yeah.
But thank you so much, Adam. And we have a very rare Radio Dan voicemail.
Holy crap. What's he promoting now?
Let's see what he's promoting.
Hello, and my name is Dan Delgado. I am the host of the Radio Dan Show at RadioDanShow.net. And I have a question that I know you two guys, or three, will be able to handle, be able to answer. Because I know that the Nowhere and Mulberry group handles great things. In fact, that's why it's now going to become a landfill. So I expect nothing but greatness. I'm very excited about this. So I want to know which is a more ridiculous movie title. Is it Haunting in Connecticut 2, Ghost of Georgia? Or is it The Last Exorcism Part 2? Which one is more ridiculous? And also, if you guys could rename these movies, what would you call them? Yes, I've been pondering this all day. I am very excited that today is Friday, so hopefully there's a show, and I'll be able to get my answer. Thank you very much, and good luck in the landfill. Goodbye.
Thank you very much, Radio Dan. It was nice to hear from him, wasn't it? It's been years.
It was. RadioDan.net, is that what it is?
RadioDan.net. And The Last Exorcism 2, yeah. That's it should have been ridiculous. T-O-O 2?
Or The Second to Last Exorcism?
Or Last Exorcism 2, The New Beginning Part 1.
Was that the one with the poster that we were walking around?
Yeah, where she was all contorted into the number 2.
Yeah.
And I joked that, like, that poor actress, when they get to 3, like, you want a what? She's like, and now for part 4. No! It's like,
well, part 4 is going to have 2 people.
Yeah. Like, chiropractor! And what was the other one, Haunting in Connecticut?
The Ghost of Georgia. I didn't know that The Haunting in Connecticut had a subtitle.
Yeah. Wow. I have nothing. It's like Yankee Haunting.
There's Haunting in Connecticut, 2 Ghosts of Georgia. That is so stupid.
The Ghost of Georgia. Apparently the ghost traveled. I guess they can fly, right?
They hop the red eye to Georgia.
They don't really get high air. They just float on the ground, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
The Casper goes, float all over.
Yeah, Casper, he's like...
He can go as high as he wanted.
He could fly in space, for Pete's sakes. Like,
well, at least
episode?
Katie Sackhoff's getting a paying job.
Oh, is she in that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. She's in that show Longmire, which I really like a lot.
Oh, yeah, I remember you talking about that.
You guys should give that show a chance. It's fun.
Is that the sheriff one?
Yeah.
What channel is that on?
A&E.
A&E, all right. So that's on... you know what I noticed since my dad's been in the hospital and the only channels they get are like A&E and all that? They all have the same reality show with just slightly different names. And it's so irritating. Like, there's the Pawn Stars on History Channel. I think it's Hardcore Pawn.
Yeah.
On A&E,
mm-hmm.
And then there's the Storage Wars, and then there's
Texas Storage Warriors,
and it's just like, God, just stop.
Stop with the storage, okay?
I don't understand how people can find that even remotely entertaining, people going on bidding on storage lockers.
Yeah, unless they enter
Well, you saw that there was an article on Yahoo. One of the guys on there quit, and then
That guy. He quit because he wasn't getting paid enough, so he went, oh, it's scripted.
Well, yeah. They rigged it. They were putting...
Does it feel
scripted? They were loading the lockers with something special. Yeah.
So it's
actually not scripted, a Storage it's Wars just, Texas, which was on today.
It's not so much scripted as it's influenced by them.
They'll put something, you know, like a priceless gun buried in one of the lockers, you know, or
to make the show interesting.
Yeah,
because nine times out of ten, it's probably an old lawnmower and stuff like that.
One of the guys from Storage Wars found an original Nintendo. That, you know, the toaster version that thought it was, like, super, super rare, and he takes it to a video game store, and he's like, this is the NES-001. This is super rare. It goes for, like, $10,000. And he takes it to this video game store, and the guy's like, I'll give you 50 cents for it. And not shortly after that, like, a year later, he blows his brains out.
Oh, my God. That's what the
Nintendo
hell?
Stuck with him.
That story went really bad, Bill.
Yeah, that's what I said, not to be morbid.
Who was that?
It was some guy.
Jesus,
like
Foggy? That was sick.
A really greasy European type. I can't remember his name, but yeah, he
It was on the Texas Storage Wars, or
no? He was on the normal Storage Wars.
Play something classy after that.
Mark
okay?
Balalo.
Oh, you farted.
Not funny, Foggy.
Yeah, it was Mark Balalo.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
They should have given him at least $1 for that NES.
Oh man, it was so disappointing. This is worth $10,000. No, it's 50 cents. Boom.
Now, Bill, we have another voicemail, this one from Rick. Rick from Australia. Let's see what he has to say to us. I really miss that guy.
Hey, guys. How's it going? It's Rick again. I've been a bit slack lately. I haven't been sending in feedback, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, I wanted to give a bit of feedback now on the Christmas special. All three episodes were great, and they really did get me excited to rewatch, you know, Star Wars and the other two again.
Are those Australian birds in the
Star
background?
Star Wars, Back to the Future.
I would assume so.
And Jaws, yeah. So
they might have traveled from somewhere.
Yeah,
from Connecticut?
I have a Back to the Future connection. Well, I don't personally. Well, you sort of. Anyway, great voicemail. November 5th, 1955. That is my dad's birthday. Not like, you know, the anniversary of his. That's his actual birthday, November 5th, 1955.
Wow.
So whenever
he
I need to think
hit his head
how
on a toilet?
Old he is, I always think about Back to the Future and go, all right, he was born November 5th, 1955. So, yeah, my dad, that's his birthday, so good on him. And his son can remember his birthday because of Back to the Future.
Convenient.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to rewatch all of them, maybe even purchase them on the Blu-ray, because I don't think I've ever watched Back to the Future on Blu-ray. Can you get it on Blu-ray? You must be able to.
Yes.
Well, this is the first episode of Entertainment Landfill. Entertainment Landfill and Entertainment Landfill. It's time for Entertainment Landfill. Oh, okay. I should have practiced that a bit, but yeah.
Awesome.
Welcome to the very first episode
of next
Entertainment Landfill.
Yep, new theme song.
Joining with me today. No.
And maybe.
Okay, I'm just going to, you know, get on with the show, this brand new show. I'm excited. Let's listen to it together. All right, I'll be quiet. No, I'm done. Love you guys. And what happened with the, who won the thing, Bill? The, you know, who got that? Did I miss that? No, I didn't. Let me know.
No, you didn't miss
won,
it.
He's
I'm
meaning
curious.
Who donated the most.
Anyway, love you guys. This was Rick from Australia.
I honestly think it was a tie.
Yeah, it was a tie.
I was being sarcastic. You suck balls.
That was very nice.
Hey, he has his own robot there.
Yeah, it was a tie.
He's got his own TRS-80 over there.
Wow.
with Steven the Pop Culture Zealot.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for that. Yeah, I'd have to go back and look, Bill. I totally forgot about that. I think there was a tie.
There was. Yeah, I remember there was. But we were still trying to decide what to do. I guess I'm going to have to go out and get two copies of E.T. on the Atari 2600.
Oh, sorry. That was my
Elliot
on the bicycle. The Kuwahara. Well, that's all of our voicemail. Let's get into entertainment and talk about some movies we've seen over the past couple of weeks. All right, guys? Entertainment! Woo-hoo! And, oh, by the way, Entertainment Landfill will not start with episode one. It's 270. It's just
nice.
Nowhere Mulberry, 269, 270. We're not starting from scratch, okay? And you know what's so funny, Bill, is remember after I posted the show and I go, our next episode will be Entertainment Landfill. Some people are like, huh? What is he talking about? It's like, did anyone actually listen to the show?
Yeah, that was driving me crazy on Facebook.
I just kind of,
I don't get it.
Basically, it's this. It's the same show, different title. Don't worry about it. Same feed.
It'll give us a little more visibility, I think.
Right. People go, Entertainment Landfill. That sounds awesome. Check it out.
I love entertaining garbage.
Before, it was Nowhere in Mulberry. People go, what the hell is that?
Who's the Mulberry, and why aren't they there?
Yeah. So, let's see. I saw G.I. Joe most recently.
Right.
Steven and I saw it. It was entertaining.
Bastards.
Bill, when you were here, we went and saw Oz, the Great and Powerful.
Yes, Oz, the Great and Powerful.
Which was a lot of fun. It was a blast, wasn't it?
$15 a ticket.
Oh, shit, you didn't see that, Steven. That was my dad who was there.
Oh, yeah, that
Have
was
you gotten
your dad.
To see it?
No, I was flying for 18 hours.
That was a bummer.
Where were you?
I was in Seattle, but
yes,
we had
that's
that
right.
plane trouble coming back in Albuquerque. I was stuck there for like 8 hours.
But it's a really good movie. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's
pretty good. Has anybody seen anything else? Shit, I can't remember anything.
No. There's so much I want to see. So much I want to see.
Let me ask you this. Are you going to go see the Jurassic Park in 3D?
Yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to do that tomorrow. Only because there's something that came out this weekend that pushed Jurassic Park 3D off the Ultra screen. And I was pissed at that.
Was it 42?
Yeah, right. Yes. Yes, it is 42, which looks like a Lifetime movie of the week, honestly, with Harrison Ford doing the gruff imitation of whoever it is he's doing.
It just
looks terrible.
Let me ask you this. Did you have any desire to see Evil Dead?
No, I didn't. There was a slight curiosity about it, but I'm just not that sort of horror film fan. I don't really get off on that stuff.
I'm honestly, you know, it used to be I'd watch horror movies on VHS, you know, as a kid, mm-hmm. or rentals, and now I wait for them to come to HBO, you know, because my wife will not see horror movies. I think the last horror movie I saw with her in the theater was probably Scream.
Oh.
The original Scream. I mean, if I'm wrong, I probably am wrong, but that's the last one I remember. I can't remember if The Ring, that might have been DVD. That was DVD, I think.
I hope so.
But The Croods, I saw that with Emma. I thought that was awesome. Awesome.
Was
DVD.
It?
Yeah, that was a lot of
fun.
I
think the character design is so strange.
It is strange, like, but I fell in love with it. I liked it a lot.
Good. I wanted to take my niece to it, but my sister was like, why do you want to take her to see something that stupid? And then the next day I see that they're there seeing it. And I was like, oh,
what?
Okay.
They went and saw it without you?
Yeah, exactly. I was going to go home just to get away from things, get a little breather from the hospital, nursing home, shit. And then she's like, no, don't bother. Why would you? And then they go see it.
That kind of shit used to happen with my dad all the time. You know, like...
Well, that kind of shit happens regularly with one of my sisters.
Like, it'd be like, wait to go see it with me. And I'd be like, okay. And then, like, he'd go with Laura or something. Like, what the hell,
he hit the matinee
man?
That morning.
Got a lot of flighty people.
Yeah. My dad used to drive me nuts also. Opening day. Come on, get up. We're going to go to the first showing. I was like hell. What the hell? I'm going tonight at, like, 7:30, dude. I don't need to go to the noon show.
I can't even remember. You know what's funny? The last movie I actually saw on, like, that Thursday night, opening night sort of thing was Jurassic Park.
I
was in a high school. Or actually, yeah. Yeah, it's just, that's the last movie I can remember seeing the night before it opened.
I can't even remember that, but Oblivion, Bill, are you interested in that?
You know what? It's so tough to stay positive on it.
Joseph Kosinski.
People are just like smearing it all over the place.
It's still
like I can't even get on Twitter without somebody complaining about it. I'm like, how are they seeing it and I'm not, and it's still a week out?
Yeah, I don't understand. Did it come out early, or did it already come out in
somebody
the UK?
Somebody released a handycam version of it somewhere. Yeah.
Well, actually, that is true. There is a handycam version on the BitTorrent sites.
But I've read the, not a perfect film. I've gotten that. And I mean, like, click, I'm done reading.
Yeah, that's my favorite whenever they go, well, it's an imitation of so many other classic sci-fi. And it's like, well, maybe it's not an imitation, but like an homage. Why does it have to automatically be an imitation?
I just think of this as it's the same director of Tron Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't like that film, you're probably not going to like this.
Plenty of people
Tron
that Legacy. Hated Tron Legacy because they felt it was lacked any story or anything. And I love Tron Legacy.
They thought it was boring, just like, yeah. Oh, it's so dull. But, hey, since I like that, maybe I'll like this. And I know it looks really cool, so I'm going to check it out.
Yeah. I want to see that new Terrence Malick film, that To the Wonder.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so hesitant because it's one of those ones that's doing the dual release, the, like, on demand and in the theaters.
Ah.
And I don't think it's going to be anywhere. Like, I would probably have to go into Columbus to see it. And if it's available on demand, I should really just watch it that way. But Terrence Malick movies, especially more recently, like Tree of Life and this one, those are almost required to be seen on the big screen. But maybe I'll give it a try. But that's another movie that people are ripping into. Either they go along with it like it's some sort of poetic story told just in moments and scenes and not a whole lot of dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And others just say, oh, it's the most pretentious, boring thing I've ever seen.
Yeah,
but it was Ebert's last review and he said it was impressive. So I'm going with Ebert.
Yeah, I can see how you could probably go either way. Like, if you're not in the mood for that kind of shit, don't go see it, you know?
I tend to be rather introspective and enjoy that sort.
Is somebody going to talk in this movie? Jesus! Or something, you know.
Yeah, there's a movie that came out last year that was famous because it was shot on 70mm called Samsara. And that's one of those films that it just kind of tells a story with no dialogue, but actually all in little vignettes from different areas around the world. And I always kind of like that stuff. I don't know, maybe I'm because I'm pretentious.
Possibly, but, just kidding. Bill, let's talk about Roger Ebert for a moment, because he passed away this week, am I right?
And, he did, yeah.
That was one of those kind of deaths where you see it, where you're like, aw, shit, like as soon as you read it, you know?
I was in Best Buy picking up the latest Blu-rays or something. No, I was looking at the latest Blu-rays and nothing was catching my eye, so I ended up buying Fringe on 1, 2, and 3 on nice. Blu-ray, and you text me as I'm in the checkout line, Roger Ebert passed away, and I just replied like, shit, F, shit, and now I'm just pissed off, because it like made me angry. It's one of those guys that fought so hard to the point where, you know, he lost his jaw, he lost his ability to eat, he lost his ability to speak, yet he just stuck it out and kept going and kept
the
going.
The guy couldn't talk. You know,
it just felt like he deserved more. You know, it made me like physically and emotionally angry.
Yeah, He was a brave dude. He really stuck it out there. And I mean, what? How did he even eat? Was it all liquid?
Yeah, it was a feeding tube. Yeah. Oh, he just basically would get that, you know, it's like a yellow liquid that's like fortified with vitamins and all the things that your body needs. Basically like the stuff they eat in the Matrix.
A tasty wheat.
Tasty wheat.
Now, I know, it's just, you know, honestly, everyone was talking about Ebert, and I felt the same way. It's like, whenever a movie comes out, I'm on Rotten Tomatoes, and I look, what did Roger Ebert say? And I just scroll down and look for his review. Mm-hmm. It's true. Just like
for me, Ebert was like the great equalizer. Like, he was, every once in a while, very rarely did I disagree with him. Sometimes he had really far out opinions on things. But he always could pull it back from the pretension that a lot of reviewers had.
Yeah. A baby almost pulled the wire. That's why I said, no. But yeah, I don't even care about that. If I disagreed with my did, it didn't matter. I remember back in the Siskel and Ebert days, there would be times where I'd be like, oh, what the hell? You know, like you would yell at the TV if they didn't like your movie, you know?
But that's because that was fun. I always liked watching them.
Or when they'd argue, that was always fun.
Back and forth, yeah.
And
their episode of The Critic is like one of the all-time greatest episodes of television ever.
Right. I saw a lot of people YouTube that, post the YouTube. But
oh, really? Is it on YouTube?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I need to watch that. I love that episode. That show was hilarious. Love The Critic.
I like to hear what he had to say about the movie. If he didn't like a movie I liked, I didn't even mind. I just wanted to see what he had to say about it, you know?
I respected his opinion. I mean, it's like I put on Facebook, he was a teacher, you know? He taught me from a very early age to appreciate film on an entirely different level. You know, and I owe my appreciation to movies now to him, honestly.
I have a couple of his books, his big book.
Yeah, I have almost every one of his books.
Holy shit.
And yeah, I have the yearly ones and the greatest
time.
Films and the Hated Your Movie. And I have all
for
of his books.
The longest time that his book would be in the bathroom, and it'd be like, all right, let's read a review while we're in here.
And there it could be hilarious. Like, after I heard that he had passed away, I brought, I had never bought it in a physical copy, his memoir, Life Itself. And now I want to, buy it in a physical copy just cause I have it on my Kindle and I was just reading it, and it's really poignant and beautiful and almost kind of knowing in a way. Because I'm sure he knew that eventually the cancer would come back and take his life, but it's a really, really moving book.
Yeah. So yeah, Roger Ebert. Always, and you can always go back and read his old reviews too.
Yeah, cool. I mean, you can get I think there's three great movies books. And then, of course, there's the movie yearbooks. And
even though he hadn't spoken in so long, when you'd read his reviews, you'd still hear his voice.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that was like when he appeared on Oprah and the guys were actually working on his voice
yeah,
for his
like
computer.
A little voice box thing.
Yeah, and you could hear his voice again. It was pretty incredible. And I need to go back and I need to watch Dark City with his commentary because he was such a champion of that film. And
yeah,
it really, it didn't do wonderfully in the box office, but I remember I saw it with my friend Mike because of him. And we were both just like dumbfounded at how awesome it was. And I think he did a commentary for Citizen Kane too, which I need to go back and
totally did.
Listen to. Yeah, it's just sad.
Yeah, totally. I'll miss him. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you say we get into some TiVo? We have a few shows to talk about, guys. Nothing of importance, but might as well just talk about them for old time's sake. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right, TiVo, woo! Now, this was a long time ago, guys, but Cake Boss was on. It's already since gone, but I figured we'd visit one episode just for old time sakes, because I miss doing the show with you guys, and I miss talking about dumb shows with you guys. There were times where I was like, Jesus, I haven't done the show in so long. What am I going to do with myself? And then there would be other times where it would be like, I have no interest in doing the show or working on it. Like a Friday would come up and I'd be like, hey, we could go see a movie instead of doing the show, you know? And I was like, and Heather was like, you got to get back into that or you're just going to get used to not doing it. And
you're going
to
pod fade.
You don't know the magic word. Yeah, but it's true. I was totally pod fading there for a while. My spirit was pod fading.
Yeah, yesterday I'm at my dad's nursing home in a room, and I think we were texting back and forth, and you're like, do you want to do a show? And I was like, right now, no, but I think I need to because it's too easy not to.
Well, as soon as that happened with your dad, the last thing I'm going to do is say, hey, Bill, I know you're dead sick, but you want to come talk about Cake Boss on the show? Come on.
Yeah, was that Andy Hayes on Facebook that started that, like where he did the thing where like, man, are you guys ever going to do a show again? And I was like, douchebag, my dad's sick. I'm not exactly going to, am I going to do a show from the hospital? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's like, bless his heart, but he honestly doesn't know what's going on right now.
No. No. But, yeah, that was the big thing. And, my dad's getting better. Today was an excellent day in therapy. He did. He was doing standing exercises in the parallel bars, and he's getting better. He's going to be home soon.
Good.
But, yeah, I think that's why I was, positive enough to come home and be like, yeah, I'm ready to do a show. Let's do it.
All right, you ready to talk Cake Boss then?
I am. You know what? And I haven't seen it. I don't think I saw it once this year because for some reason my DirecTV DVR only ever records repeat episodes, like old episodes.
Well, in this episode, oh my God, I just jacked up my volume. On this episode, Buddy goes to Marvel Comics, huh? He's going to do a Marvel cake. Oh, and no. You know what's funny is I noticed when he gets there, you can't see this because it's audio, but of course the lobby is pretty cool. It's got the bust of the Hulk and it looks pretty cool. But then they go into the offices to speak to the guys and it's just shitty cubicles like any other place.
It's cubicle hell.
Just messy offices and there's nothing special about it. But it's funny. Buddy's like, I love Marvel Comics. I grew up on it. Like Spider-Man, the Hulk, and all the other guys, and it's like, yeah, you're a huge fan, buddy. But
listen, I love Rob Liefeld.
But listen how he starts talking about the kind of cake he wants to do. It's completely ridiculous. Like all of his inspiration. Let's check it out.
Today, I got a consultation, and I'm going to Marvel today. Marvel Comics. And I mean, growing up, I was a fan of Spider-Man, the Hulk. I mean, all kinds of good stuff like that. So, for me, I'm like a kid in a candy store. Oh, look, bud.
Oh, how cool is that? Give me the face. Come on, hit. Yeah. That's it. It's scary.
You do not want to see me angry.
When I get angry...
Hey,
I make bad cakes.
Pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
This is Dan Slott, the writer of Spider-Man. This is the Nerve Center. You can see we have upcoming covers for upcoming Spidey issues, some Daredevil, and some other things around the edges.
I'm in, where Spider-Man gets written, and we're talking about Spider-Man fighting, like what I'm going to create on the cake.
Two-fisted slugfest in the Mighty Marvel Manor.
You know it. You know what I'm trying to say?
I think the only thing that can make Spider-Man any better is if you can eat him.
It was just like one of those moments where you feel like you made it. You feel like,
really gross.
You're putting your input with these guys, and it was just a very proud moment for me.
We're doing this event. It's for Spidey's 50th.
Uh-huh.
We've got a nice rooftop lounge that's set up. We're going to do it for all the Marvel VIPs, all of our staff, and our crew here.
So we're thinking of doing a city scene of New York. We want to also use other Marvel heroes and villains on the cake because we want to have like 20, 30 moving parts. You know, guys fighting and spinning and flying around and just kind of really...
Sounds pretty incredible.
Sounds like a great strategy, yeah. Too, because Spider-Man is so New York. You can't have him swinging through the suburbs. You know?
No. He needs New York to swing.
Yeah.
You got anything else that you're doing this? Just, you know, reach out, let us know.
We're going to make you an awesome cake.
Yeah, can't wait to see it, huh?
Comic books tell a story. I want this cake to tell a story like a scene in a comic book. I mean, I'm thinking of subway. I'm thinking of streets collapsing. I'm thinking of fireworks. I'm thinking of lit buildings. You know, off the hook.
Hey, I'm so thinking I had a crazy of a idea. Figure on cable with no
I had
feet.
Had visions of it. If there was a part of this board, okay, that when we start, you see the train going, right? And you hear fireworks. And then all of a sudden, we pull over and the street falls out. And it just, boom, smoke comes. And if there could be a sinkhole somewhere. Because Spider-Man swings, he's going to have his legs open. If he could make like he rescues Mary Jane, as he swings back over the sinkhole, he's going to fall in.
That's never going to work. I promise you that won't work.
What the hell are you talking about?
Dude, you don't sleep at night?
Buddy.
This was my drive to work.
Your drive to work? You should have been like listening to music and just like being tranquil.
This is the craziest thing we've ever done. We're going to make cake history.
Yeah, just wait till you guys see the cake, huh?
Cake history. Wow.
The funniest thing about the cake is that how they do have the sinkhole and the Spider-Man drops down in it, you know, like on a little string, but then like a bigger Spider-Man comes up out of the hole, like next oh, to a, like a fondant Mary Jane.
And then the entire cake collapses in on itself.
Fondant Mary Jane.
It was pretty hilarious. But you guys, I've talked about before how Marissa, the girl on there, she won the Next Great Baker. She's always being harassed. And I think it's harassment in the workplace. But since it's cake boss, hey, they get away with it. You know, they're always going, hey, Marissa. And they're putting a cake, like a pie in her face. Or
they call her sugar tits at some point.
I haven't heard that, but they're also
I'm
like
expecting it shortly.
They throw things at her, you know. And so this week, Buddy's like, oh, I got to get Marissa in a joke. And just listen to what happens. It's horrible.
I love Marissa. And I think that she's fitting in so good at the bakery. But I also feel like it's my God-given right to prank her once in a while. I got you a surprise. I swear to God.
Am I going
to
get dirty?
No, not dirty at all. But it's a surprise.
I'm so scared of Buddy. I mean, I have just a bad taste in my mouth from Buddy from Next Great Baker, so I have to deal with it. And, you know, I think he feeds off that.
Am I going to be able to breathe?
Yes. You're going to be able to breathe. You're going to be able to live. You're not going to die. You're not going to lose a limb.
You're not going to die.
It's going to happen.
Come here.
No, I don't want to fall off anything.
I'm not going to. I'm right here. I'm
there.
I ain't got
to
live.
No, right here. You're good. Right here.
Understand this.
Oh my God, they took her out in the firing line.
I almost pooped.
Oh my God.
She says, I almost pooped.
Oh my God. Don't go away, man. Just go away. It's that poop again.
That poor girl. They just love harassing her. I almost shit my drawers. My drawers.
Oh, I almost shit your sinkhole.
Shit. Okay, guys, let's talk about Celebrity Apprentice real quick.
Shit, I forgot to watch it. God damn it.
It's all right. I'll fill in the blanks for you, Bill.
Right.
You know, Trump's wife is Melania, and she's been working 10 years on this new facial cream or something. And
facial cream.
For some reason... Dennis Rodman questions this and he goes, would it be all right if I went up to your bathroom and saw if you actually had this in your bathroom?
What the hell is wrong with him?
And there's another great part where,
is he gonna use that massive nose with earrings to find it?
But we also had, Penn who, was leading the other team. And there's this great part where, Trump's son, the blonde one, Eric Trump, he goes in there. And Penn is kind of pissed. He's like, you know, we're busy right now, and he's totally distracting everyone. So he's like, hey, we're good. Why don't you get out of here? Come on, get a go. And he's like real short with them. It's pretty funny. So let's check this out.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're standing in the atrium of Trump Tower. I live here with a wonderful woman, Melania, my wife.
Wow, look at that woman. Donald Trump don't marry any woman. Hell no, he gonna marry some girl that's good looking as hell. They got brains too.
After 10 years of researching, I'm thrilled to launch my debut skincare collection, Melania Caviar Complex C6. The task this week is about Melania's new skincare line. It's the Trump name, it's the Trump family. I feel the pressure, I do.
With Melania is Angie Provo, Vice President of Marketing. Angie?
We would like for you to capture the essence of Melania's new caviar skincare collection by creating a two-page advertorial and product display.
Okay. I never want to be project manager. That's just because I don't control people like that. Try to run people? Nah, that's not me. I don't run people. I just try to keep everything level, keep it cool, and just let everybody have an opinion.
Hi, Power
Hello.
Team. How are you?
Melania,
nice
how
to
are
see
you.
You. Nice how are you?
Hello.
Nice to see you.
Nice to meet you.
We are on our toes for this executive meeting because this is Mr. Trump's wife, Melania.
Melania, I'm asking you something very cool. Did you start this?
Yes, I worked and researched for 10 years. I create everything.
Did you? I'm asking you this is a very delicate question.
You sure you want to ask that?
I sure do. I'm asked it. I would love to go upstairs to your house in your bathroom and see what you really use. Really? Let's go there.
You're saying you want to go up in the bathroom.
Dennis, please get out of Melania's bathroom. Meeting with executives is not Dennis Rodman's forte. He should not do that, ever.
Luckily, she doesn't speak English. Melania, although this is white and gold, what I picture in my mind that it's rainbow effect.
I want to go on to the bathroom on you.
Her beauty lives 5,000 miles past heaven.
Oh, Jesus.
Have you ever had your genitalia so excited that it spins like a Ferris wheel in a carnival ride?
Oh, come on.
When Eric Trump came to visit, we were in the middle of the photo shoot. There's no question, we know we only got about an hour left. The pressure's on.
Show him one of our posters. Now beauty can be more than skin deep.
Who came up with that slogan?
Probably Mary Lou, but...
I'll tell you hers.
You are such a disruptive force.
My bad. I'll keep your entire team.
Just split, baby. Nice talking to you.
When Eric Trump was asking questions, Penn would say things in that very dismissive way that was rude. So I'm not sure how that's going to go over.
I'm really happy with everybody, except everybody comes over and tries to explain every little thing they did right to you. And it takes a lot of time when they could be doing more things.
You got a good bunch of sled dogs working really hard, and then someone brings in 10 pounds of hamburger. That's what Eric Trump is.
Let me just tell you, everything here was each individual's idea.
He's doing a good job.
Everybody's a genius. Yeah. Everybody's the best they've ever been in their life.
I always wonder if it's the intention of the project manager to try and get people away from you for selfish reasons, or if he actually wants to commit them to the task at hand. But it was very interesting to see him kind of come in with like an ugly tone, interrupt a little bit and say, listen, everybody get back to work. We'll see how it turns out.
You know what's funny is... Rodman's team came up with a pretty good concept, except they misspelled Melania's name on the
board. No.
And what's so bad is it says Melania misspelled at the top, and then below it, it's spelled differently. It's spelled correctly on the bottom. So you could easily like look, okay, one of these is wrong because it's the name twice and one is spelled different than the other. But they're like, Dennis, do you need to sign off on this? Is everything okay? He goes, yeah, it looks good, baby. And he just signs it. And the camera like zooms in on the misspelling. So it's funny. They're all sitting in the boardroom. We'd like to show you our presentation for Melania's new. And they unveil it. And you just see the camera zoom in on it. And their faces are like, oh, my God, that's misspelled. You know, it's just like nobody noticed it. Like Little John, Trace Adkins, none of them noticed it. And then when they go to the boardroom... It's funny, like, the other team immediately notices it. But the best part is when Penn gives his presentation and Busey decides to speak up right in the middle. No. He just starts talking, and you see they're just like, dude, God, shut up. It's funny.
So this whole wallpaper here and this wallpaper across here is actual photographs of caviar. And, of course, you are the spokesperson, so we've used your picture just as it is. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We had a wicked lot of leftover caviar, too.
Hopefully you enjoyed that.
Yeah, you were there when we were just maggoty in the caviar.
Need to walk out.
Probably not the right expression to use. But we had a lot of caviar is what I should have said. So thanks so much.
It relaxes your skin in a great way. It becomes part of your body, part of your face. So it's part of you in a natural, beautiful way that doesn't cause any...
I was praying to the Gary Angels about? That they would tie his tongue.
Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. You too.
This is no longer a secret weapon. It is now a secret miracle.
Correct.
Penn and Gary may not have allowed that presentation to go over as well as it could have.
Yeah.
If we don't win, I'm fully prepared to just call people out.
I'd like to have Ivanka and Eric show each team the other team's work, and I want to get an impression of what you thought.
Spelled wrong. Is that spelled wrong?
I still don't understand how they even go.
It's spelled wrong.
How do you spell Melania?
It's spelled wrong.
You just might have picked up something very interesting. Who picked that up?
I did.
Are you seeing that there could be a problem there?
Yes.
What's the problem?
Well, I'm seeing two different spellings of her name. I'm seeing a spelling that I don't recognize for her name.
Wow.
Maybe Dennis wants to take a look again.
You know, there is a problem here.
And it's not a small mistake.
Dennis, There is a problem.
Is it?
Her name was spelled incorrectly.
Well, that's a problem, baby.
Oh, yeah, we did.
That's top. No big thing.
That is a problem.
Get the gist of it.
Less so for me.
She knows how to spell her name. That's all
Ivanka, what did Melania Angie think of Dennis?
It's more natural that way.
Melania very much appreciated the fact that you seemed to understand that she had contributed years of her life to developing this formula, that she wasn't just a spokesperson. Additionally, she liked the product display itself. She thought it was much more feminine. She thought the use of color was much more simpatico with the actual packaging in itself. In terms of negatives...
You know what? It doesn't matter. Dennis, look, I can go into a long, big thing. I can talk about they didn't like the color, they didn't like this, they didn't like that. The fact is, you spelled her name wrong. So, Dennis, you lost. And you are the project manager. You did lose, Dennis. You're fired. And I want to just say, great job. And keep it up. I am so proud of you.
Go Wait, ahead. What?
Thank you,
fellas. That's your fire. That's mine.
It was good, minus the misspelling.
It's You're doing good up until now.
But you need to go back and take some English and learn how to spell.
I was honestly
misspell Liza Minnelli?
I was having trouble watching it with Omarosa. She was just so annoying and obviously trying to get everyone's goat, you know, and to work them up. I guess that's what she's supposed to do. But it was just annoying, and I was glad when she finally was gone.
Yeah.
But what do you guys say we take a break? When we get back, we'll talk about Hell's Kitchen.
Okay.
Would you guys like to do that this
evening?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we'll be right back.
Saying you want to go up in the bathroom.
How long does it take to get a really good workout? I used to work out for an hour and a half with machines and free weights. That was then. This is now. Switch to the 30-minute workout with that amazing light circuit equipment.
Bally's Holiday, now just $10 a month. Look for our new club opening soon across from Franklin Mills Mall. Call 1-800-FEEL-FIT.
30 minutes enough?
That's me, Tommy Lasorda, before I lost 30 pounds in 3 months with the Ultra Slim Fast plan. Now, that was last June. And the big news is, I haven't gained an ounce back. The plan is easy. I had a delicious shake for breakfast, one for lunch, and then a sensible dinner. I feel great, and I'm never going to look like this again. Hey, if I can do it, you can do it.
Ultra Slim Fast. Give us a week. We'll take off the weight.
Light drink mix is sweetened with 100% NutraSweet, so there's no sugar, no saccharin, and no saccharin aftertaste. All these natural flavors taste so terrific.
It's hard to believe there's only 4 calories a glass.
I believe in Crystal Light, because I believe in me.
Childhood loves were dessert and Tommy. I got over Tommy, but I still love dessert. 8 calories, sugar-free, Jell-O gelatin.
The dessert you don't have to dessert.
Eat your heart out, Tommy.
Enjoy extra sugar-free gum.
You get extra flavor, extra fun. Get extra sugar-free gum.
Extra sugar-free gum with NutraSweet won't promote tooth decay and gives you extra refreshing flavor that lasts an extra, extra, extra long time.
Extra flavor for that extra long flavor.
Sugar-free extra lasts extra long.
Mmm, chocolate. My chocolate
is in my peanut butter.
It's delicious.
I like it.
You get two great tastes in one candy bar.
Real milk chocolate, delicious peanut butter. Two great tastes that taste great together.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Want a bowl of donuts, Coach?
A bowl of donuts?
Donuts. They look like powdered donuts, do. Taste like powdered donuts, do. Yeah, donuts.
Little powdered donuts.
Powdered donuts, crisp and light. With a crunch in every bite. Donuts.
They're delicious.
Part of this Christmas, not nutritious. Donuts, cereal.
Delicious.
Donuts.
Cereal that tastes like...
powdered donuts.
Donuts.
Delicious.
It's new Dolly Pops dress-ups with 4 dress-up outfits, each sold separately.
Dolly Pops dress-ups, ooh, Dolly.
Party Time has 2 dresses to make Dolly very pretty. With Playtime, you can pretend to feed Puffy and Kitty. With School Time, you can pretend Dolly's in class. And with Country Time, you can pretend to catch butterflies and walk in the grass. Dolly Pops dress-ups, dolls you dress in a snap. Dolly Pops dress-ups, Country Time, other Dolly Pops dress-ups sold separately, new from Knickerbocker.
Riding up and down and up and down on Inchworm from Hasbro Preschool.
You know what I like? About pumping up. You know what I like? About making it out. You know what I like? About the feel of weight in my hands. It's your effect on my body.
Feel the effects for just $24 a month at Chicago Health Club. Some restrictions apply.
Before you primp, you gotta pump.
La-da-da-dam!
Arr, who goes there?
Toucan Sam!
Another sea dog looking for treasure to loot?
No, I seek flavors of fruit.
Fruit? The crew needs a good meal. Lead us to your fruitful treasure.
My pleasure. We'll follow my nose.
Fruit hole!
It's Dolly's nose. Ahoy! Kellogg's Fruit Loop Cereal. With natural orange, lemon, and cherry flavors and a full day supply of vitamin C. Part of this complete breakfast. So you like Fruit Loops?
I am hooked.
When I was first asked to do a television show with Gene Siskel, my original reaction was, the show sounds like a great idea, but why do I have to do it with Gene?
I just had to beat him. That was the main thing. I didn't care about anything else.
He occasionally tells me what I think, and he is only occasionally right.
He persists in thinking that he's a better film critic than I am. Drives me crazy.
For the critical difference, it's Siskel and Ebert and the movies.
Hey!
You say you're getting tired of lettuce and tomato hamburgers in this town that don't quite make it?
Yeah!
You say that just once you'd like your hamburger hot and your lettuce and tomato cool and crisp all at the same time?
Yeah!
Well, I say, you got it. I'm talking McDonald's new lettuce and tomato hamburger, the McDLT.
I'm talking quarter pound of beef on the hot, hot side.
And the hot stays hot.
The new McDLT.
Hot, hot.
Crisp lettuce and tomato on the cool, cool side.
And the cool stays cool.
The new McDLT.
Cool, crisp.
The beef stays hot. The cool stays crisp. Put it together, you can't resist. The hottest taste, the coolest dish.
Keep the hot, hot.
Keep the cool, cool.
McDLT. McDLT. Hot, beefy McD.
Cool, crisp LT.
McD. LT.
It's a good time.
Hot, beefy McD.
For the great taste.
Cool, crisp LT.
Of McDonald's.
Could be the best tasting lettuce and tomato hamburger ever.
New McD. LT.
Tuesday on Riptide, a computer hacker is wreaking havoc.
Very, very alarming.
Quinlan reluctantly calls on Murray's expertise.
Damn good, the computer.
He's making an excellent point.
Beginning a titanic battle of wits.
Now that should be easy for me.
Riptide, 7:30 Tuesday on TVO.
Country time reminds me of a hot day in 22 when I was stranded in the middle of nowhere.
And the prettiest girl I ever saw rescued me with some delicious cold lemonade.
Country time tastes just like that good old-fashioned lemonade.
Not too tart, not too sweet.
Country time lemonade-flavored drink with natural lemon flavor.
Country time.
Grandpa,
country
did you ever see that girl again?
Yep, I married her.
Tastes like that good old-fashioned lemonade.
My Oscar Mayer hot dog, it's juicy as can be. That's why I've got my napkin on to catch the juice you see. I like the taste of juiciness, but I am wearing my new dress.
Oscar Mayer roasts them to seal in the natural juices and make them just the best that they can be. But do you really need a napkin?
I can't take it off the
thing. Jennifer?
I have to put it on again.
Watch, this is going to be great.
Yeah, right. We've actually taught Michelle to say Full House is moving to 8:30 Friday nights right after Perfect Strangers.
All right, Michelle, let her rip.
Don't miss Full House at its new time tonight at 8:30, 7:30 Central, right after Perfect Strangers.
Michelle. Your voice has changed.
If you sometimes get stuck in the kitchen, cooking is hit or miss, and greasy messes get out of hand, reach for the ultimate cleaning machine, SOS. Nothing powers through the grime on utensils, burned stovetops, or splattered glassware faster. So if cooking is sometimes your downfall, reach for SOS, the ultimate cleaning machine.
Thinkable? Unthinkable.
The unthinkable taste of Cheerio. Not a lot of sugar to weigh down, no.
Cheerio.
She has a love, but don't keep them around. So he can't,
she can't,
you can't think the unthinkable taste of Cheerio. Not a lot of sugar to weigh down, no.
Cheerio.
Better have me some fun.
Hold on to your hats, bitches.
Ah, yeah.
Plasma rocks it over LCD, yo.
That's Yo. Another thing. During our break, I watched every single episode of Breaking Bad that I could get my hands on. And I was completely addicted to it. And that's why I love this show. Just these four ridiculous...
And blue methamphetamines.
Yeah, four ridiculous characters, Bill, and they just start talking about plasma over LCDs in the scene. And
there was Yo. Badger and Jesse and what's the Skinny Pete?
Is yeah, that Skinny Pete. I love Skinny Pete. Pete. He's like...
that guy looks like a meth addict.
Yeah, he does. Badger's like, yo, man, it burns in. You don't want that. And he's like, oh, I love where he's like,
porn, guys.
Jesus. Yeah. Man, I can't wait till the porn in 3D, man. Ta-ta's right in your face, man. Those guys crack me up. That show is so well written. I love it.
Yeah, it's one of the I'm still like trying to wrap my mind around the fact that right now they're shooting the last 8 episodes.
I know, and I even read that Vince Gilligan is thinking about doing a Better Call Saul spinoff.
I saw that.
Bob Odenkirk does this character of Saul. He plays Walter White's lawyer, and I love his character. His scenes just, they're like firecracker pop, you know, it's just like, he's so good in those scenes. It's such a fun show, man.
I think one of my favorite moments, I don't know which season it was, but whenever he had to deal with his secretary, and it's like, she gets so exasperated that it's not even worth being his secretary anymore.
Yeah.
She walks out. She's handling all his money. And it's just like, this is too much for me.
And I love the big giant guy who just stands there and he's like sleeping while standing up. Like,
yeah.
He's supposed to be the bodyguard.
There's such a great group of characters on that show.
It is.
Feng shui, y'all. I can dig it.
Yeah, feng shui. All right, I want to talk about Hell's Kitchen. Have you guys been watching every episode?
I know, but I just watched the most recent episode.
Excellent. Yeah.
You know what? I think I watched the first episode because I remember talking about, like, where did they find these rejects?
Well,
like, this has to be the worst group they've ever had in Hell's Kitchen.
It was very strange how JP is back.
And it was such a stupid reintroduction.
And it was like, you're gone for 4 years and you just come back? And it's like he's a character in a TV show. He's not a real person at all.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Well, the entire show just seems so phony at this point.
Yeah. But it's funny how, like, I don't understand. He's in a scripted show, I guess, in a separate show.
Yeah.
But, okay, we got the best part is when, whenever every season it starts ending in to be continued, like, oh man, I can't wait to watch the next episode to see what happens. But in reality, we're like, eh, whatever. I'll see what happens next week.
Yeah, I so don't care who's going to get it next week.
Like this week, it was a to be continued and it was the girl team, but he decides to fire the dude. Was it Justin from the blue?
Yeah.
Because he brought up the sample plate of the
sample plate. No, it was Jeremy.
Was it his
Wasn't
name?
It?
I can't remember. But he brings up the example plate that Gordon made for them to go off of, and he brought that up to the pass.
Like, what the hell is he thinking?
He's like, this is my plate. I made this an hour ago. And he's like, no one's ever done that. It's time to leave Hell's Kitchen. So
I think you should have gotten an award. Like, no one's ever done that.
You get a special award.
Stupid.
And I love how basically the girl who was nominated to go, she's all safe now, and she talks like this, and they're like, the guys are like razzing her. They're like, don't trust those girls. They want you out. And she's like, shut your mouth. And she's getting all upset at them. And then the black girl, I forget her name, Nelda or Nada?
Nedra.
She comes out there, and she wants to start a fight with them guys.
She starts smacking pans together and talking about how much she loves a cup of juice.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Bill. Aw, you should have let me set it up. Why'd you steal my thunder? But then, just listen to her talk, Steven. She sounds just like this lady.
I love juice. Juice makes me happy. Nothing like a cold cup of juice.
Now let's check this out. I think it's the same lady.
I'm glad that Chef Ramsay knows that I'm more talented than Jeremy is. It is definitely a chance at redemption, and tonight I'm going to prove myself. My period's really late. I've been nauseous a lot of days in a row, and so I'm nervous. I have to pee so bad.
To me, there's no excuses. You're pregnant or you're not, it doesn't matter. If you throw up, you throw up, you get back on the line.
I can't worry about another bitch's problems. I need to worry about my problems. But she needs to get that
definitely not.
Whether or not my juice is very cold.
Like, instantly it came up.
I just want a cup. That's it. I don't want to deal with all this other.
Mary, I like that fight, baby.
Thank you.
Yeah, girl. Yeah,
for real.
I think it's great. Earlier today, the girls put Mary up. Mary fought back.
I made my mistakes, but I didn't let it get me down, and I picked back up, Chef.
And Mary, always remember how they were talking.
No, they love me.
Don't you believe that, Mary.
You know what? Shut your mouth.
Mary, they threw you under the bus faster than anything.
Seriously.
Don't even talk to me anymore. I'm serious.
Okay.
Oh, what's up,
Mary? Mary. That's our angry voice.
That's pretty good.
What happened, Mary?
The guys are being jerks and they're talking crap to me. Shut up. If you can't win because you're good, then don't try to win by shooting us down. You know what I mean? Like, I'm pissed.
They're laughing. I'm going to just go hammer time on all of them. It's a couple people I want to cross my path. I can just hammer to them.
Oh,
what up?
Listen, it's okay to antagonize people who can handle it. Don't do that to people who's weak. That's up. So whoever it was, y'all can kiss a big, okay?
Competition's getting heated up. The red team's starting to really, I feel like they're cracking, man. So it's fun to with them.
So who was the bitch who did it?
Who did what?
Antagonizing people.
Ain't nobody antagonizing nobody.
All right, well, don't say nothing to her. Did we say something to y'all when y'all got up two nights in a row?
Heard.
No, so don't say to us. Say something to when you can win a challenge.
All right, heard. Okay.
Because I'll okay. Tell y'all some in a quick, fast, in a you don't want to f*** with me. I'm Mike Tyson, bitch. Ring the bell if you want to play. Ring it. Ring it, bitches. Ring
like
it.
Ding, ding. Ding, ding,
well,
ding.
Well, let's go.
No.
I don't want to say nothing.
Okay, that's not like
no.
Get your together.
Smooches.
They ain't had nothing to say. That's what I thought.
I don't give a f***. You think I'm here to make friends with the females? I'm here to win a challenge with my boys.
The females.
You can try to blow the house down, Falk. I care. I can almost guarantee a win tonight. So it's on and popping now, bitch.
I'm ready to seriously, like, tear it up.
I'm, like, so game on right now. I want to blow their out.
They bought house in my shoes! It's in my shoes!
When he said, I'm not here to make friends, it reminds me of that YouTube video.
Like yeah.
All these reality shows where somebody goes, I'm not here to make friends. I just want to see how many reality shows had someone say, you threw me under the bus.
Threw me under the bus. Yep.
Threw you under the bus. I bet you could do it like four, million you know, times. How long could it be?
It would be like 40 minutes long. And that's just the past 2 years.
Now, in the second clip, this is so silly, you know. Of course, it's Hell's Kitchen, but Gordon wants them to know how bad they're screwing the staff, like JP and the waiters. So he has JP tell them how he's being treated by customers who aren't getting their food, right? And the story's complete bullshit because the one guy's like, these people, you know, their anniversary, they drove all the way here to eat. It's like, it's a TV show. Why would they drive to have their anniversary dinner? It's a freaking TV show, you
for
know?
Dinner they may not get.
It's not that, like...
Yeah, they drove here to be on television.
Right. So let's check this out. And JP says something, and I've listened to it over and over again. I have no idea what he's saying. So let's check it out.
Chef Ramsay wants the chefs to focus on the task at hand.
We've had some respectful moments in Hell's Kitchen so far, yes?
Yes, sir.
But nowhere near the consistency, okay, that we really need. And if the kitchen isn't running properly, the ones that are taking the brunt of it are Jean-Philippe and his waitstaff. Jean-Philippe, please, can you give both the red team and the blue team a little insight to how much crap you have to take sometimes?
Frankly, honestly, it's been an absolute living nightmare. No, on my hands and my knees, every single table. I'm sorry, I do have a bit of crowd, though.
Jamie, come over, please. Give us a little insight to the kind of crap that you've had to endure as well, please.
I almost lost my job the other night. I had a table, and I watched them complain to Jean-Philippe about me. Jean-Philippe called me in there to reprimand me, and that's when he found out it was because of the kitchen.
I have never been a waiter, but I feel terrible. You really mess up someone's life if you're a bad cook.
I had a couple that came from Arizona. It was their vacation to come here and eat. 2 hours later, when they didn't eat, out of frustration, they got up and they left.
I don't like waiters. They're annoying.
Nothing could have bummed me out more than that.
Oh, I know they go through some, so do we.
Booyaka!
So that guy had no sympathy at all, did he?
Nope.
Yeah, this show's just a train wreck, but of course, Hell's Kitchen. I miss
that guy. That guy in particular is a massive douchebag.
He is. There was one episode where the other guy got so mad at him, he was like shoving him with his body. You know? And it's like, how did that guy get away with that? But it's Hell's Kitchen.
He didn't lay a hand on him. Yeah, exactly. It's phony. It's Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, it's Hell's Kitchen. And they did. Gordon did the thing he does every season where he has them take orders. Like, you go take the orders. And the guy writes it down. And he goes, I can't read the sloppy handwriting. And he holds it up. And you can read what they wrote.
It looks perfect.
It's perfectly legible.
There's like the numbers with the circles around them and what they are. I can't read that. You must be blind.
But then he goes, and then they come back. He goes, I still can't read it. Go back. And the guy's like, damn it. And Jean-Philippe, he's like, well, thanks a lot, man. And he walks away. He
comes back with it. It's all typewritten.
I still can't read this. And he comes back and he goes, finally, I can read it. And Gordon's just effing with him, you know. But anyway, that's Hell's Kitchen. Good stuff.
Whoa. Did the earth just shake down there? Did we catch an earthquake?
Oh, God.
Not exactly.
Psychedelic.
All right, let's talk about The Walking Dead, because an entire season went by and we were gone. The second half of the season.
That's impressive.
No, we talked about two episodes, I think. Okay. Honestly. But I thought, like, it started well, and then it kind of became a bit of a meandering mess.
Yes.
Because I figured out what was going on. I think originally... The governor was probably going to die at the end of the season. He needed to. That's the story.
That was the arc.
That was the story arc. And all of a sudden they're like, you know what? This David Morrissey guy, let's keep him around it for next season.
Now, was it AMC?
I have no idea.
I'm not trying to lay blame. I'm just trying to figure out what the hell is going on over there. Like, did Glenn Mazzara want to get rid of him and AMC said no and then appointed Scott Gimple?
First thing I thought, because when the season was over, I thought, like, I bet you Glenn Mazzara was like, no, he's got to die. And they're like, no, we want to keep him around. We think we want to stay at the prison. And I even read someone saying they already have the prison set. If they left there, they spent how many millions building this thing? AMC's probably like, we need to stay at the prison. We paid for that thing.
Yeah, it's so scenic.
If that show is being controlled like that, that sucks.
Well, that's exactly what's happening, because AMC doesn't have any control over Mad Men. Sony owns that.
And Breaking Bad either.
Yeah, so now they want to like micromanage.
And that might be what's happening here. Just in hindsight, the way certain characters died, hopefully everyone's caught up. I don't want to spoil anything for anybody, but the governor does not die. He just drives away, and for some reason, they don't go back to their home. Where are they going to go? I don't know. Are they going to
scout for more killers?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
but another thing,
we need a new group.
Okay, here's another thing that kind of pissed me off, because I know a lot of people hated Andrea. But you had this character of Milton, who I thought was... They were turning him into quite a character.
They were. Like, I was starting to sympathize with him.
And much like Merle, they made him interesting. So what do? You get rid of him. Yeah. And, you know, Merle, when he... that episode, I thought it was pretty good episode, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I know the show loves to kill off its characters. But I'm wondering, the thing I had a problem with mostly is, even though Andrea's fate, what happened? I'm going to assume everyone's seen the goddamn show, okay? Because I got to talk about this.
Yeah, just talk, yeah.
That the fact that the governor ties her to a chair and then stabs Milton and says, you're going to kill her when since you won't kill her, you're going to kill her anyway. And he kills him and he's bleeding to death and, you know, he's going to die in turn and then kill Andrea. And that part of I like that setup there. It took a little too long to get to it.
Yeah,
though.
That was so drawn out.
Maybe if they would have established, like, her fingers were smashed or something and bruised up, like she could barely function or something. Because I know she'd been tortured and stuff. But I didn't want her to die for the fact that I didn't want the governor to get away with that.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was such a, you know, they spent so much time with that character this season that that's her fate. Like, that's where it ends.
It felt like, what is the point of this shit?
There was absolutely no point.
I almost say this, kill the governor, let Milton and her live.
Yeah, absolutely.
The fact that they had the kind of the sympathetic relationship with each other, she'd kind of shown him the way, and then he finally was convinced that there's no way to save the governor, he's just this evil man. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they get rid of him, it was just like, what was the point of that shit? That's the way I felt when that was over.
Well, that was when the entire episode was over, that's how I felt.
And by the end of this episode...
What was the point of that shit?
At the end of the episode, the one person that I was like, this person has their shit together, they know what's going on, he's the smartest person in the room, and you know who that is?
Carl,
exactly. Mm-hmm. There's a part here, I have a clip of it, where he tells his dad what's up, and it's totally like... Bam! You got knocked the fuck out, Rick!
Yeah.
You
know,
it's just like, you have nothing to say, get up and walk away, bitch. And he's just
drop
like,
the mic on the floor.
Because there's a scene where, you know, the kid, it's got a shotgun, and he runs right into Carl and Herschel, and he's like, drop it. And the kid kind of like stays there and looks at him, and he's like, drop it. But he kind of just stays there, and the Carl's like, you know, screw
it. I thought he was kind of, it looked like he was handing it up, but they said drop it.
He was thinking.
That kid had to think entirely too long.
He was thinking about, like, doing something, and Carl's like, hey, I gave him a chance, I dropped him. But then Herschel's like, hey, you never guess what Carl did. Like, stop tattling, dude, okay?
Yeah, it's like high school.
Dude,
like,
we live in a post-apocalyptic world.
He was
going
to drop it. He killed him in cold blood.
Yeah, even Carl's like, that guy just got done attacking us, and he was running away. He runs right smack into me. I tell him to drop his gun. He's holding a shotgun. He doesn't drop it right away. He's hesitating. I dropped him. What are you going to do? I'm going to go get a sandwich. Bye. You know, bitch.
Oh, you were just going to kill us, and now you don't feel like it because you have a gun to your head? Oh, okay, yeah, welcome.
Yeah. Even though I like the scene because the people, let's face it, the people of the town of Woodbury are just faceless people that are all there.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, they're all red shirts, and they're all idiots.
Yeah, they're all just like
their main thing is to complain.
Yeah,
they are the Israelites in the desert looking for someone to worship. You know, they will do anything to satisfy themselves.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever been on like a family vacation where everyone's bickering behind you and you have that same kind of welling up of noise in your head, just like the governor? And finally he's like, ah, he turns around.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, basically what happens is they all... The whole gang from Woodbury shows up. They got like grenade launchers or blowing up the towers, which I would have been dead because that's where I would live, in the tower. You know,
yeah.
I'd be totally like, no, you know? But they go in there. Nobody's home. So they go. I honestly, if I was the governor, I'd go, OK, let's leave. But he's like, let's go keep exploring in there. And then they use the alarms, which they established in the Andrew episode, that you could turn it on and. Flashbang grenades and basically scare the shit out of them, where they all run out like, oh shit, let's get out of here, because
they're organized.
There were some walkers in there, I guess. There was a few.
Yeah, they put a few in there.
But they all leave.
But they kind of use it as a turkey shoot, you know, get them all coming out and just poop,
yeah,
poop, poop.
Just shooting at them, and they're like, they probably thought like 100 people were shooting at them. They had no idea. They're so disoriented.
Well, when you're coming out all in a straight line, you know, it's like one right after the other.
Flash bang goes off, you're blind and you can't hear, right?
Right.
So you're just running blindly towards the light outside.
I was kind of confused by the fact that they had all of that ammo from the token black guy, and... why didn't they just blow them to hell as the trucks came in? Like, you know, I mean, what?
Well,
because they were organized coming in, but when you scare them, you know, when they come out, their ears are still ringing.
Yeah, but then there's only Glenn and Maggie shooting at them.
Well, that was stupid. Yeah, I agree.
Take them all out.
Their plan was fine if they were going to kill them all. But instead, they scared them where they ran away, sure, but they could always come back. My way of thinking would be like, we've got to kill all these people so they don't come back. But they were just getting rid of them. And they're like, well, they're gone. I'd be like, no, everyone back in your places in case they come back. But they're kind of like, oh, yeah, we're one. I'm going to start up a barbecue, buddy.
Awesome. Get the beer.
Yeah. I'd be like, no, I'm not going anywhere. But anyway, let's listen to this scene right here where the governor He's pretty pissed off that they all tucked tail and ran. But of course, he hopped in the car with them, didn't he?
We need to dig in!
It's not worth it.
That was a slaughter!
You bunch of pussies!
I told you we should have handled this shit ourselves.
When we're done fighting for a hole with a half dozen psychopaths living in it, they can keep it.
You've seen what they've done. Attacked us. They killed my boy. We're going back.
We are not soldiers. Want us to kill miners? Of course, but this is crazy.
Right, go home. Think you're going to be safe?
Uh-oh. Oh, tonight is...
Do you like how those two dudes were just like, holy shit, just standing there?
Yeah, they're just standing there with their mouths open.
Herschel told me about the boy he shot.
He had a gun.
Was he handing it over?
He had just attacked us.
Yeah. Yes, he had. Was he handing it over?
I couldn't take the chance. I didn't kill the walker that killed Dale. Look what happened.
Son, that is not the same thing.
You didn't kill Andrew. And he came back and killed Mom. You were in a room with the governor. And you let him go. And then he killed Merle. I did what I had to do. Now go. So he doesn't kill any more of us.
I like how Rick was just like, damn.
Go do your job, Dad.
Go rescue all the people from Woodbury and bring them here.
I really hope that, and I need the show to do this, where they just take all the food there. Hey, let's haul up all this food. And they take every bit of food in Woodbury with them. When they did that, at least you'd know, hey, they're going to be well fed, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I need to see that as an audience member, not just wonder if they did it, you know? Mm-hmm. Or I got to wait till next season. But
now they have one hell of an ensemble. That opening credit sequence is going to have to be, what, 5 minutes?
What do you mean, because of all the cast?
Because of all the people from Woodbury.
They'll probably be background players. They'll be background players with maybe two people who become
Bring Tyrese back into it. He'll be a major player.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically Walking Dead is hit and miss. You know, there's... Every episode has something with it that nags at me, but there's good stuff mixed in. Like in the Merle episode, I liked how he dragged all the walkers with him in the car.
Mm-hmm. And
I
loved that was good.
He's drinking the booze and he's like holding the bottle up to him. And just this, even the scene where he's hot wearing the car and all the walkers are coming and
Michonne
has to use the wire to kill the thing. I like stuff like that where they make it one-on-one with a walker and it's scary because you're tied to something and you don't have a weapon. Because we've seen you could easily handle. And that's another thing problem I have with the Andrea death. We've seen how many countless times she could easily handle herself when not just one walker with multiple. I don't think there's a way Milton could have gotten the drop on her. Do you?
No.
She had the pliers, just jam them in his eye socket. I don't see how she could have gotten bit.
Well, that's why they didn't show it.
Yeah.
Because, they had nothing.
How about this? Make it more interesting. What if Milton, for a minute, he's about to attack her, and then he hesitates? Remember, there's that whole thing of there's anything left of yourself? Wouldn't that have been interesting if maybe he stopped for a second? Like, is old Milton there for a second? And it just gave her enough time to raise her hand to defend
herself.
That's
what I was waiting for. That's what I thought was going
to
happen.
But there was nothing interesting. It just went to outside the room and you heard her scream or whatever.
Yeah.
And you know what? How many times? I'm sorry. I mean, I know sometimes it needs to be in a show or whatever. How many times have we seen outside the room, cut to black, and, you know, gunshot? Yeah. You know, we've just, come on, we've seen it, right?
Are they trying, at this point, it's gone from being tasteful to cliched.
It's just that we've seen that done so many times.
Yeah.
It's just like,
Man, it would have been better if they would have shown, like, the blood splatter on Michonne. Like, just show Michonne's face and then the splatter.
She's got brains all over her.
Yeah, she's got mysterious brains all over her.
What, it was hardcore when after the governor killed those all the people, and then he started shooting them each in the head, and then he ran out of bullets, and he's like, ah, screw it. And the lady's, like, hiding under the bodies. And then you realize all his bodies are going to turn, like, really soon. And I was wondering what would happen to her, but then, you know, you see in the next scene, she's fine.
I was hoping she'd get eaten.
Yeah, might as well. She's going to get probably killed next.
Well, she's the one that started it all.
You don't want to f*** with me. I'm Mike Tyson, bitch.
They need that chick on Hell's Kitchen.
Dead drop.
Can you imagine her saying to the governor, and the governor's like, shit, and he just runs away. You're like,
I'm Mike Tyson, bitch.
Now, what did you guys think of the episode where Andrea decides to leave and the governor chases her through the whole episode? And
then at the end just pops right up.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, she totally didn't just hear him sneak up behind you.
There were bits of the episode I liked. I mean, it was like a horror movie. Like, when they were in that factory thing. And
that was all fine.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, sometimes I'm wondering, like, oh, okay, that was pretty interesting. And then I read comment sections where people's like, that's the worst episode of episodic television I've ever seen. And
so essentially he's Jason Voorhees or Michael Myers. You just can't stop him. He's going to pop up at the end. You can't stop him. Like,
and he's like whistling, because that's what Bad Ronald did. He started whistling, and I was like, oh, he's got some Bad Ronald in him, you know.
Mother!
Mother, I'm the king of Atlanta! And I almost thought that he got bit in that episode.
That's too. Where they're going. And that's so where the governor and those two guys are going, in Atlanta.
Well, that's what, you know that episode where she opens the door and all those walkers walk in? He's like, oh, shit, you know? And he gets all backed up, and then later on he shows up, and he finds out that all the walkers were burned in the pit. And by the way, that was gnarly, that scene where they're all, like, moving still.
Oh, they're still chomping?
Yeah, they're charred and everything. It's like, that's disturbing shit. But I thought he'd gotten bit, maybe. But that wasn't the case. And I remember saying that to my dad. Maybe he got bit. And he goes, who cares if he got bit? Everyone's infected. It doesn't matter. And I go, what? No, yes, it does. If you get bit, you die with, like, in 24 hours, don't you? Like, you
probably even sooner than that.
You get a really bad fever and you die. And he goes, oh, I didn't know that. And I'm like, have you been watching the show?
What is he watching?
That's why they check for bites.
In the very first episode, the Lenny guy, you know, he's like, tells Rick that. That's how his wife died. She got bit and she had a horrible fever. And then she died and came back. That's what happens. It doesn't matter if we're all infected. If you get bit, you're going to die very soon.
And if you die normally, you'll come back.
The infection part comes into the fact that when you, no matter how you die, you're going to turn.
Right. Which is really depressing. But,
yeah. So it's like, no matter, that's why you want to be shot in the head. That's why Andrea shot herself in the head.
In Hell's Kitchen, did this girl say she was going to turd it up?
I'm ready to seriously, like, tear it up.
Teared. She's going to shit all over the kitchen.
I'm ready to seriously, like, tear it up.
She's going to spread her chocolate love.
She's going to turd it up.
Saying you want to go up in the bathroom.
Yes, and turd it up.
She needs to go potty. So Walking Dead, I'm glad there's a show that exists with zombies.
And I wish there was a better show at this point that existed with zombies.
I honestly, I like a lot of the show. I just have problems. I was on board until this finale when nothing happened to the governor. And you could say, well, Jason, just because the show didn't do what you wanted to do. But I honestly think from a standpoint of a storyline,
it was sloppy.
That's what needed to happen. The fact that the governor just disappears.
They're kowtowing to the public, you know, it's like you like to hate
if
the
this
governor.
Been the, if this would have been the mid-season finale, I would be like, okay, well, usually a conclusion happens on the season finale, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's the problem I had with it. And they've had so many chances to kill the governor. Or how many people could have dropped him right there when he was gunning people down?
Right.
Just like, dude, Captain.
Well, that one dude just hesitated. He's just like,
my son got killed.
Like, you just shot everybody. Blam. Done.
Yeah, just... probably the two other guys would have been like, you
well,
did what
I'll
you
give you one
do.
More chance. You just killed 30 guys. One more chance. You won't kill me.
Why didn't the two guys that were watching him kill all these people go, man, this guy's screwed. Let's kill him.
And he's just like, he nods for them to get in. They're like, okay, I'm getting in the car with you for this psychopath. I like the other guy's like, you know, you could tell by he's like, I'm riding in the back.
I don't want to be anywhere near him.
So, yeah. And you know what, Bill, I don't know if you've read it, but Amazon is now doing original series like Netflix is.
Oh, no shit.
They're doing a Zombieland TV series. And I still have a problem with Zombieland, where is in Zombieland, they're not undead. Am I right?
No.
They were all, everyone is turned by mad cow disease, like something to do with tainted meat.
Yeah, Zombieland is one of those movies that I don't understand why people like. Like, I cannot stand that movie.
Well, my problem with the movie is that the whole third act involves stupidity, where the girls are like, let's run off alone and go to an amusement park. Like, yeah, that makes sense with a bunch. And by the way, they're fast zombies, you know, too, so it's even more dangerous. And they're not undead, by the way, so they can't be zombies. So it makes no sense.
Exactly.
But it was on Conan was in Atlanta last week. Did you see that? And Michael Rooker showed up.
I didn't see that. No,
he shows up with Carol, which is funny. And they're like, "Hey, is it all right if we stay in here? There's a bunch of walkers out there." And Conan's like, "Oh, there's zombies out there. I guess you could say." And he goes, "If you mean by zombies you mean walkers, yes, those are outside." He's trying to correct Conan. And then, like, Conan, Andy makes a really bad joke, so Merle shoots him. And he's like, what'd you do that for? And he goes, did you hear that joke? That's the worst joke I ever heard. And finally, he's like, you know what? I think we're going to – we've had enough of the show. We're going to take our chances outside with the walkers. And he grabs some lady. He goes, come with me. And just the audience member, and she goes with him. It is pretty funny.
And then he stink-palmed Conan.
You know what? It made me sad that Merle was dead on the show because he was a fun character, you know?
It was, you know, I thought if he had to go out, he went out in a great way.
He did. He tried to take out he took out a few guys, you know? And then the governor just lied and said, they took out 8 of our men.
It that point, it started getting irritating. Like, the governor became a caricature. He's becoming what I hated in the comic books.
Right.
Where at the beginning of it, it was like, oh, this is a new kind of governor. I like where they're going with this. And now, all of a sudden, it's that batshit insane, absolutely no reason at all, irritating governor.
And I hate when people...
Congratulations.
I hate when people were like, finally, yay, Andrea's dead. And I'm like, no, not yay. We deserved more as an audience.
I think the actress deserved more as an actress.
Like, we didn't need... I felt bad for her because of the material she was given. They made her annoying in season 2. I thought she was less annoying in this season, but they gave her the job of being torn between the bad guys and the good guys when she had no idea from her point of view who was bad, you know? So they made her in the impossible position of being annoying to the audience.
I think Frank Darabont's eyes were rolling into the back of his head as he was watching this.
What was supposed to happen is she was supposed to be an awesome sharpshooter, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And get involved with Dale.
Yeah, and Dale should still be alive on the show.
Absolutely, you should be this Herschel horse shit is for the birds.
But Bill, I never want to see cannibals on the show.
No.
If that comes,
you know, I should go. I need to go back and read what's been happening in The Walking Dead just to see where Kirkman's taking it. Just because I'm like morbidly curious at how awful his writing has become. Sometimes writers improve. Kirkman actually gets worse.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing. I honestly don't. But, Hey, Bill, it's been a long time.
It has.
How'd you like to do some news?
Let's do some.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God, that was sick.
Oh. I'm sorry. Sometimes I just get really angry, and I have to shoot people for no reason.
Did you see Marissa?
While they're running away.
Marissa from Cake Boss was there, too.
Oh, my God.
And then she shat herself.
Up in the bathroom.
All right, Bill, let's do the news. Woohoo! Entertainment Landfill with the news of Mulberry Bill.
Have you ever had your genitalia so excited that it spins like a Ferris wheel in a carnival ride?
I can't say it has, but...
The freaking sound effect is so bad.
It really is.
This is no longer a secret weapon. It is now a secret miracle.
All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
I think that's quite possibly one of his worst... saying.
it doesn't
sometimes they like make enough sense to be kind of poignantly, you know, crazy poignant, but this is just crazy.
He's got the little crazy clever going on.
Yeah. Pull on your hats, bitches.
Now, all right, Kevin Bacon's in a little bit of trouble with fans of The Following. Yesterday he retweeted a spoiler from a fan that said, "At Kevin Bacon's a murderer too. Nice twist, Kev Williamson. The Following Fox."
Before the episode was over, it was like the same night.
Yeah. Well, I guess because it aired on the East Coast and not on the West Coast yet. So,
he's lying. Check the machine, eh?
From what it sounds like, he let his father die of an overdose?
No. I watched the episode. What happens is Kevin Bacon, when he was a kid, his dad got in the middle of a holdup at a convenience store. And these tweakers, again with the tweakers.
Damn tweakers.
No, actually, they were they're drug addicts. They shot his dad and ran away.
Sneaky Pete and Badger.
Yeah, Sneaky Pete. And he basically tells the main bad guy, Joe, who's wanting to know this personal information about him. He goes, and then later the guy luckily died of an overdose. And Joe's like, well, poetic justice. You know, he talks all pretentious because he's a serial killer.
Yeah.
And then at the end, they show what really happened is that Kevin Bacon showed up. He found the druggies and he's got a gun and he tells them to shoot up. And they're like, I don't need any more. He's like, come on, do some more. And he's got the gun. And finally, he just makes him OD by gunpoint. And then you're like, whoa, he's like, when he was a kid, you know, he was like a kid. And he forced these guys to kill themselves, basically. And you're like, dude, he's more effed up than we thought, you know. And
wow,
that's basically amazing. That's basically what he proved was.
You don't want to f*** with me. I'm Mike Tyson, bitch.
Yeah.
I'll make you shoot up and kill yourself.
Oh, Bill, you're auto-tuning.
Oh, no.
Okay, you're good now.
All right. Next in the news, nowadays if you want to sell clothes and shoes, speaking different languages can help. Or at least it would have helped Target's marketing team to know several types of brown sandals. And selling the name Arena for the chain store actually means urine in Spanish.
Awesome.
I want some of them piss sandals. At my Target, we have been asked to remove all signs with the shoe's name, as well as the cover cover the name on both the box and the shoe tag. A worker told the consumer's website, seeing as there are so many Spanish-speaking people who shop and work at Target in various areas around the country, I can't see how this got past whatever process Target uses to ensure that inappropriate names for shoes don't reach the shelves.
Any urine will work.
Yes. Oh, yvay.
Yeah, they should have had, like, what do they call that? Like a focus group.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's a variant of the name Irene in Greek, and the meaning arena is peace. So I guess, you know, it can mean different things in different places. But whenever you're in a country where Spanish-speaking people are becoming a majority, it's probably not the smartest thing to have piss sandals.
I feel like it's my God-given right
to have piss sandals. All right. Well.
Now, how cool is that?
Sad news for the, I would have to say, 60 and over generation. Comedian Jonathan Winters has died at 87.
That's right. I wanted to watch the Scooby-Doo episode where he appeared on it as, like, to remember him by.
Yeah, I was never really a big fan of Jonathan Winters. My dad would always watch those NFL blooper tapes where he was the host, and I always found it very bizarre and uncomfortably unfunny.
I got to be honest, because we're the younger generation. I didn't think he was funny, but
I didn't think he was funny at all. Even on like Johnny Carson, when he would come on and like do his shtick,
because he did sound effects and stuff, you know.
Yeah, I just was like, why is this funny?
He pretended to be kind of psycho,
kind of retarded.
And honestly, Bob Hope, everyone loved. As a kid, I was like, why is he funny again? You know, I didn't get it.
Yeah, he wasn't funny. But again, it's generational humor.
If you were in your 70s right now, you thought he was funny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember he would always appear as like an old lady on like Johnny Carson and stuff.
I can't worry about another bitch's problem. I need to worry about my problem.
What?
<Yes. laughs>
Okay.
And I know he was tow truck driver in It's a Mad World.
Bob Hope was like a great comedic actor in movies and stuff. I'm talking like the Bob Hope specials.
Exactly.
Have,
the
like,
guy that would walk around with a golf putter.
Yeah, and he would do these bad bits, right?
But he was the straight man.
Right.
Being
and then Anne Jillian.
They're annoying.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I just don't get it. Didn't get it.
Bill,
maybe I had to
youngster.
Be part of that era.
You're a youngster.
I am.
Young whippersnapper, you.
Maybe Steven would get it. He's our elder, right?
In 20 years, they won't get Carrot Top.
Yeah.
No one ever got killed.
Well, I'm just using him as an example because he does the shtick comedy.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. All right. This is just so disturbing. Great grandmother Joan Lloyd, 67, is set to wed a toy boy. I always thought it was boy toy, but in this British paper it says toy boy, 38 years her junior. After fulfilling her late husband's last wishes by getting breast implants and finding love with a younger man.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. The nice. Pensioner from North Wales found love after meeting Phil Absalom on Facebook. Despite the 38-year-old gap, the pair insist they enjoy a regular and active sex. No, I'm not even going to say it.
Wow.
God. That's just wrong. Wrong.
Disturbing.
A devoted wife, she cared for her husband for 15 years as he battled heart disease, lung disease, cirrhosis of the liver, diabetes, and Alzheimer's.
No.
So he's in the midst of a death of basically Alzheimer's and says, get breast implants in a young man.
But he won't remember saying it.
I'm going to just go hammer time on all of them.
Wow. Yeah, if you could see these pictures they took for the Daily Mail online, it's just so wrong.
Pretty hot.
Smoking.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Here's one driver who didn't learn from her alleged mistake.
Oh, he looks so beautiful.
I always love whenever they use the word alleged whenever it happened. 32-year-old Illa Dawson was reported to NAMPA police Tuesday for driving all over the road, bouncing off curbs, and nearly causing several accidents.
How cool is that?
She's having a fun time. Police cited Dawson for a DUI and say she was under the influence of prescription medications. Officers arrested her a day later on the same charge. So I guess, you know, she just kept at it.
Psychedelic.
Police want to remind drivers there are many types of medication that cannot be taken before getting behind the wheel. Normally they put the stickers on them, but
no one reads the labels anymore.
No, never. Do not operate heavy machinery.
It's being an absolute living nightmare.
I'm not going to even get into the story, but if anybody ever wondered why monkey butts are so colorful.
Excuse me?
Yes, monkey butts. You know, they're just very colorful monkey butts. Monkey baboons butts. And they're like large.
I think the most disturbing
and,
is the baboon.
Yeah, but if you want to know, Popular Science has a whole article on why the monkey butts are so colorful.
What are you doing, monkey?
Yeah. Why is your butt so colorful?
How about it's just because that's the way they are?
Well, no, some people just
monkey ass.
They really need to know.
Why is that monkey's ass so red? Poor little guy. He must have been drinking too much Sprite. Oh, what is it? Pineapple juice. That'll do it, Steven.
Oh, yeah. Yow.
You can kiss a big okay?
What?
It's that acid.
Smooches!
Okay. I never want to know. That's just, that's how I roll.
Well, that's, you know what? Sometimes you don't need to be that enlightened.
It's gonna be chill.
The man who was the voice of Charlie Brown in the very first Peanuts television specials has pleaded guilty to threatening and stalking both his ex-girlfriend and the plastic surgeon who gave her a breast enhancement he paid for.
Oh, man, what the hell?
You know, that really does sound like something Charlie Brown would do.
Oh, you know how many times I read, like, good grief.
Good grief.
You blockhead, what did you do now, Charlie Brown? Okay, Snoopy. So Snoopy. Basically, Charlie Brown is stalking his girlfriend?
Yeah, ex-girlfriend.
Why doesn't she
and
love him?
And the plastic surgeon.
He's Charlie Brown.
You know, Coldplay wrote a whole song about him.
Because you're so wishy-washy.
Aha, Sally knew what was wrong with him.
Sally always knows what's going on.
It's your own fault.
The City News Service says 56-year-old Peter Robbins. That sounds very Charlie Brownish, Peter Robbins.
See you soon, you sly devil.
He entered the plea Wednesday in a San Diego court and could get up to 3 years in prison.
Ooh.
Prosecutors say Robbins called his former girlfriend dozens of times a day and told her he would kill her and her son if she did not give back his dog and car.
Well, I got her wrong.
Detective Snoop.
She has Snoopy? Dude,
she has custody of Snoopy.
If somebody took Snoopy, you deserve to be threatened with your life, am I right?
That's what I thought.
Oh,
poor Chuck.
That's what his parents are saying, I guess, in an interview.
Well,
he really should have talked to Peppermint Patty before he went through with this. She always tends to be the voice of wisdom.
Snoopy dog.
They say he made similar threats and demanded a refund from the plastic surgeon.
Okay.
I guess because he can no longer enjoy the breast implant, so he feels he should be paid back.
Some privilege.
Robbins provided
Judge
the voice
Judy,
of the title
that's
character.
That's a gift.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a one-time gift.
You can write it off on your taxes.
What's going on here?
He provided the voice for Charlie Brown in Charlie Brown Christmas, and it's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. So he's like the guy that I always go, man, why don't they use him instead of these awful new voice people in the new Charlie Brown specials? So I cannot watch the new Charlie Brown specials because no one sounds right.
I know. It's like you're like something's off. Like it's like
it just doesn't feel right.
Right. Like Linus doesn't sound right.
Yeah. And even the animation is too fluid. It needs to be more like more choppy, hand scribbly. It's just too. It's too pristine.
Yeah. Remember when they had like a? It was like a Saturday morning cartoon of the Peanuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Vince Guaraldi Trio.
I'm craving some Dolly Madison snack cakes, Steve.
That's the first album that goes on around the Christmas season for me.
He's a stalker.
Now it's stalker.
Now I'm gonna have to like look out my windows when that's on.
Well,
there's gonna be Charlie Brown peeking through the window of my door. Where's my breast implants?
What are you doing?
You got my
man?
Dog?
Ah.
And he's hanging around with Pigpen. There's just dirt flying everywhere.
Pigpen, get out of here.
And he's living with Pigpen under the bridge.
He, like, starts scoping out your place.
Feng shui, y'all. I can dig it.
He's, oh my god, he's Skinny Pete.
He digs your feng shui, yo.
Subwoofer.
Oh my god, that is so funny what he says about that. It's like,
whoa! Bodacious subwoofers, yo!
Bodacious!
I love how they're standing there and goes, dude, I could just stand at all these, stare at these blinking lights, man. He's like just staring at the
amp. I love those guys. There was a commercial not long ago that the guy that plays Badger was in, and it was like, I was just like, hey, it's Badger!
There's a funny part in the series where he has his guys, they're supposed to sell meth, like go to Narcotics Anonymous, and then sell to the people recovering, but yep. They just start following the steps, and they're clean, and he's like, what? And they're like, yeah, we started doing the steps, man. We're at the meetings every week, so... Yeah, I haven't done anything in a long time. And he's like, what the hell is going on? And like, well, have you sold anything? No, man, we couldn't do that. That's not right. Like, what the hell is happening to these people? It's funny.
I love that show.
It's going to be chill.
That season with the cat and mouse game between Walt and...
Gus
is just some of the most... riveting television, and how that ends up working out is just, it's stunning.
Season one, it's like six episodes or seven. It's a good setup. But at the end of that seventh episode, you're hooked and you're like, oh, dude, I gotta watch the next one. Season two is excellent. That whole season is just excellent.
Season one ends with them and Tuco in the junkyard, right?
Right. And then it continues right on in season two. And when season two ends, you're like, oh, man, that was, like, one of the greatest seasons of a show I've ever watched. I'm going to watch season three now. When season three is over, you're like, holy shit, this is, like, the best season of a show I've ever seen. You just keep going, and you're always, like, just like, wow.
Season two is the one that, like, begins at the end of the episode, or the end of the season, right? Like, where it, like, has that foreshadowing. That's when that actually started in the series.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes.
It's like the singed teddy bear floating in the pool.
Yeah, but if people haven't watched it, don't give anything away.
Well, I'm not going to say what happened. I'm just saying that the foreshadowing thing starts like with that.
Yeah.
Which I think is great. Because that's how this last two, where you're like, what is going on?
It's awesome.
All right.
I can't imagine. Another thing I was going to say is, I can't imagine having to watch that show week to week and waiting between seasons. Like the
Also, that's something funny that we talked about, how you didn't understand why people felt so annoyed with Skylar.
Yeah, I kept reading people hated her character, and I'm like, what's the big deal? Because I'm watching it back to back to back to back, but they're like going like week to week and then having to wait months between each season.
Yeah. And, she is quite possibly one of the... I feel bad for... Is her name Anna Song that plays her? I feel bad for her because if people run into her on the street, they're probably just like, I hate you. You're so annoying.
Yeah.
And then
Just one of those characters. Her and Andrea should hook up and go, hey, been there, girlfriend, and high five. You know?
The annoying characters club.
I was going to poop in my pants. I almost pooped.
And then Tara from
I almost pooped. That's so, like, womanly to scream.
But, like,
I almost pooped.
Why is that womanly? I don't understand. I've never heard of that
sarcastic.
But Tara, is she more annoying than any of those characters? From True Blood.
Yes. She's queen annoying. Yeah.
I love that Gary. Right,
we're going to get into a story about some horseplay.
So it's part of you in a natural, beautiful way.
No, this isn't natural or beautiful. A Manning man, I need to know where a Manning, Oregon man is accused of sneaking into a barn within a mile of his house for at least 7 months to have sex with a gelding horse. Yes, Tony J. Hall Rivas, 47, was arrested Wednesday afternoon at his home after investigators linked his DNA to a hat found near the barn.
Where'd they get his DNA from?
Yeah, I'm guessing it probably wasn't hair. Hall Rivas was booked into... There goes the horse. It's out of there. Was booked into the Washington County Jail on accusations of trespassing, burglary, and sexual abuse of an animal. Which is only a misdemeanor. That's not a felony. It is not a felony to have sexual relations with an animal in Oregon.
Oh, God.
So basically, you just get a ticket.
Hey, you knocked that off now. You cut that out, you.
Over time. Wow. Slap on the wrist. Oh, he's just being that way to get attention.
This goes up $5 more if you get caught doing it again.
You can only, you have to go back to school if you get more than 4 tickets in a year.
I don't need this horse shit!
Over time, he became more brazen in his actions, which is how they were able to obtain the evidence he left behind.
Come on! That's a bunch of horse shit!
Deputies were aware of the abuse in October 2012 and believe it may have started a month earlier. So they just let this go on? Hall Rivas was chased off by the horse's owner on several occasions, but was never seen to identify. Hey, you, stop having sex with my horse, you hooligan!
Hey, you knocked that off!
Knock that off!
Go get the stick! He's like, whack, 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 whack.
Hall Rivas allegedly broke into the barn late at night and early in the mornings to abuse the horse.
And perhaps the side of horse.
And he added that detectives believe a second horse may have also been abused. So he's a serial horse abuser.
That bastard. That poor horse.
Yeah, that's just those poor horses.
Why doesn't the horse kick him?
I don't know. Maybe the horse was complicit.
What'd you do to the horse to keep it?
This is no longer a secret weapon. It is now a secret miracle.
The people at the Daily Dot have decided that there are adjectives being used on the internet that are now overused. So, we are no longer allowed to use hilarious, insane, mind-blowing, awesome, innovative, epic, stunning, cutting edge, or game-changing.
Game-changing. I think I use the word awesome way too much.
Yeah, I use awesome way too much also.
I feel like it's my God-given right.
I don't think I've ever used innovative that much. Epic I use more as like a joke because it's used so much.
Because I'm just going to bring the awesome.
I like stunning. Maybe people just need to access thesaurus.com once in a while.
I know, on this show, from doing this show, I know buzzwords like nice.
Nice, yep.
And awesome. Mm-hmm. I say awesome quite a bit. I know, Bill, I know some of your buzzwords.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Yep. This is awesome.
Yes, I have I have a few buzzwords that I always catch myself saying, and then I go, oh, you've said that one too many times this episode.
Can I say one thing that you say on every single episode?
Go for it.
I just know from doing the show for so long. How long have we been doing the show?
Almost seriously. 10 years.
Since 2005.
Yes.
Quite frankly, you say.
Yes, I do. I always say quite frankly.
Quite frankly, you say it quite a bit.
Yes, I do. Quite frankly, I do. It's because I just really like Frank. He's a really good guy.
Steven, I'm surprised you didn't say it this week, because every Cake Boss segment, you usually say, my envisionment. Always say it. And he even talks about my vision, and I was like looking over, waiting for you to say it. I was like,
I purposely didn't say it.
Why? You always say it. I was so disappointed.
So disappointing.
My envisionment. Come on.
Envisionment.
Okay, what do I say every week? I already said awesome. Dude, that is awesome. No, nice. No, there's something else.
We haven't done nice in a long time. Yeah,
let's do DVDs. Let's do the news.
I got nothing. I say that way too much.
I got nothing, yeah.
Because I always have nothing.
You know, I never pay close enough attention. Like, I always notice if I'm saying something too much, but it's always too late. Like, I was like, well, I've already said it two or three times, so why stop now? But I never really pay attention to what other people say too much.
I never paid attention to you saying, quite frankly.
No, I always say it. I know that I always say it.
No, I'm just saying, I never paid attention to it. Never.
You guys gotta, after we do the show, I re-listen to them, and I listen to old shows, so I've heard them all over and over again. And I'll laugh.
There should be like a super cut of quite franklies.
Plasma rocks it over LCD, yo.
It does.
I've thought about that, Bill, like doing stuff we say like every week or whatever over and over again. But God, that would take a lot of work.
That would take way too long. But we have hundreds of hours of thousands of hundreds of hours.
I want an envisionment one.
Drop.
Just over and over again. No, just like every time Cake Boss comes up, you know.
That's what I'm saying. You make a drop of me saying it. That way you have it.
Just kind of like this one.
Tomato sauce, tomato butter sauce.
Tomato butter sauce.
Tomato butter sauce.
Tomato butter sauce. I never got my tomato butter sauce. Yeah. I need tomato butter sauce.
Tomato butter sauce. Where's the sauce?
Who's got the sauce for tomato butter?
Tomato butter sauce.
Why is the sauce not ready?
Tomato
now.
Butter sauce, chef. I just finished it.
Can you mind getting some more tomato butter sauce going?
Butter sauce.
Tomato butter sauce.
That's sauce now. Tomato sauce. Much better.
And
I always wait for the butter sauce.
And do you guys, I don't know if you guys remember this one.
A case of Chardonnay.
No, Acacia.
They order a case of Chardonnay.
We get a case of Chardonnay.
No, a case.
Okay, so we need a case of Chardonnay.
A case. A case of Chardonnay.
A case.
Yes, Chardonnay.
Like a case, like a big case or a
no,
case.
No, a case.
Case. I got to take this.
831, they order
a case.
They ordered what?
What?
A case.
A queso.
A queso.
A queso.
Oh my God, when does it end?
Chardonnay. So put that in right now.
A queso, Chardonnay.
That was on like an old Celebrity Apprentice with Dennis Rodman. Remember, they wanted a queso Chardonnay, but he goes, you mean like a case? Like a case? You hold it? Like a big old case? No, a queso Chardonnay. And they just keep going forever. It's hilarious.
It is.
Yuck,
and that's the news for this week,
well,
ladies.
Thank you, Bill. Huh? Ladies?
Well, she was talking, so I was addressing her.
Oh.
Hold on to your hats, bitches.
Manly men.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for doing the news this week. What do you say we do some DVDs?
Well, you know what? I hate to miss the song, but I've actually got to urinate again. So go ahead. Let's do the song while I go urinate.
Oh, there's no need to do that. Go ahead and go.
All right, I will be right back.
All right. I thought there was a longer version of that. Foggy? What the hell? Here, I know.
It does not compute.
Okay. All right, Bill, you back? Ah, shit. Always.
Ah, Herbie Hancock. That's unnatural.
Stereo is unnatural, Bill.
Most annoying song. Thank you.
Bill, you're back!
Jim.
I hope you had a hell of a piss, Arnold!
You shot the rocket robot.
All right, Bill, let's do DVDs! Woohoo!
Let's do some DVDs! 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 HD Blu-ray standard definition! DVDs! Woohoo!
Oh my god! Oh hell yeah! The DVDs, everybody!
It's being an absolute living nightmare.
Oh, owning DVDs. All right, Bill, what do we have in the DVDs this week?
All right, DVDs for this week, April 16th. Holy Moses.
Oh, you farted.
Steamroller.
like me, we'll have some breakfast, eh? Some back big sandwiches while we're waiting.
God, I need to go grab that DVD and watch it tonight.
How many great releases came out during our break?
You know what? There were some pretty good releases while we were gone. You know what really sucks? It really chaps my buns.
What's that?
Amazon used to list releases by week, and they don't do it anymore. Like, I could go in there, go down to the movies, Blu-ray, go to that page, and then, oh no, they brought it back. Yay!
I am removing the superfluous buns.
Yeah, they stopped doing it for some reason.
But it's back?
Yeah, they brought it back. I guess people complained.
No.
Yeah, do you want me to go back, like, I don't know, to any, like the second and just mention?
Yeah, like any kind of like stuff that we'd love to buy.
Well, something you would love to see just to make fun of, that Bible miniseries they did on the History Channel, possibly some of the worst production value in writing I've ever seen on anything involving the Bible.
It's in the Bible.
they want it to be even in the title, the Bible, the epic miniseries.
Is that like Roma Downey produces that?
Yes.
I remember when
Burnett, Roma Downey. Oh, I think they're married, actually.
I think one of them said, like, the Bible should be taught in all public schools. I was like, what the hell?
But you know what? Yeah, let's teach the Bible.
It's in the Bible.
But also teach the Bhagavad Gita, teach every religion. I don't think any religion should be excluded. I think it should be, like, historical lesson.
When people say stuff like that about, I think, like, some people are like, Christianity, that should be in the Constitution. It's like, okay.
Or like the people that say, well, have you ever heard this? I heard somebody say this once, and I literally wanted to shoot them. Was, you know, when they took God out of school, that's when guns came.
Yeah, it's like, no, it didn't. God's never been at school. And another thing is, think of it this way. Whatever religion you are, okay, a religion you're not, put that in the Constitution. How would you like that? Well, I'd not like that one bit. Well, that's why it's not in there, asshole.
What about religious freedom? You know, what the whole...
Yeah, it's not in there so everyone can be free to worship what they want. If we had a government that ran one religion, like everyone's Catholic or you're in prison camps or something, it would suck. That's why it's not in there.
I can't worry about another bitch's problems. I need to worry about my problems. Jesus.
How we get on this subject? Oh, I know why, Bill.
The Bible. The Bible. So yeah, it's awful. I watched it. My dad was in the hospital while they were airing it.
It's in the Bible.
He's passed out in bed, high on drugs.
Is that the one where Obama plays Satan, Bill?
What?
I saw where everyone's like, Satan looks like just like Obama.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
It is like he looked like ethnic.
The guy's really just Satan.
Apparently, it's Satan. But
so funny.
My dad's in his hospital bed, and I'm sitting there in the room, and I hate to say that, you know, I was sitting there to be with him, but also
satanic
the hot nurse
symbols.
And I would flirt with, but I'm sitting there watching this thing, and I can't change the channel because I'm flabbergasted at how terrible it is. Like, it's like the Cliff Notes version of the Bible, and it just, everything looks terrible. Worst acting, worst dialogue, worst special effects, just terrible, terrible, terrible.
So it's a great work of fiction?
Yes, I'll just leave it at that. I'm not going to go any further. All right, and then the next week we had, let's see here, Naked Lunch on Blu-ray, because everyone needs that on Blu-ray.
Disturbing film.
Yeah.
Strange film.
Hyde Park on Hudson.
Naked, literally.
Where Bill Murray plays Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Yeah. Is that any good?
No.
What?
Yeah, I watched it the other night, and it is Bill Murray's fantastic. I mean, he's great.
So,
but the movie itself is just worthless.
He's good. Movie not so good.
Yeah, movie's just meandering stupidity, honestly.
Oh man.
Yeah, it sucks. But Bill Murray's great, so that's all that really matters.
Maybe. I'm sorry, but that was the movie that was supposed to get him an Oscar.
Was it? I know he got the Golden Globe nomination, but I don't think he got the Oscar.
No, that's when it was coming out, you know, everyone said, "Hey, could it be an Oscar for Bill Murray?"
The movie was awful.
And the answer is no.
No. They re-released all the Fast and Furious movies on
Hell Yizzle.
The whatchamacallit movies. I actually enjoy the movies because they're so stupid. Mm-hmm. They're big, they're loud, they're dumb. They're entertainment.
They're fun. I know they're bad films. Like, the last one, I think it's... You didn't like the last one.
I just thought it got too stupid, like with dragging the massive safes through the roads. And
I thought the last one was the best one.
Yeah, the last one was the best one, but the fact that the roads weren't totally destroyed.
They didn't have that in the CGI budget to go over and lay the damage in.
No, but again, that's such a nitpick on a movie that's just ridiculous. Like, why am I going to...
You know what my favorite part of that movie is? When The Rock has them in custody, right? And all of a sudden they get ambushed and they're shooting everything. You know, it's real dramatic. You see all the Rock's guys getting cut down by machine guns, right? And all of a sudden a grenade gets dropped. And it's a total ripoff right out of The Kingdom, Peter Berg's movie.
Yeah.
And the grenade goes off, but it doesn't explode. It goes like that. And it's like, whoa. You know, it's like it's supposed to be. Dude, his guy
slow-mo
just got
grenade.
Taking the F out, man. Any movie that has that boom sound cracks me up.
Well, it's just at this point, it's so overused.
Yeah. By the way, I thought The Rock was great in G.I. Joe.
I heard that it's his movie. Like, he is the star of the movie.
No, it's Adrienne Palicki's movie.
See, that's awesome. She's not even on, like, the poster art. I really do want to see it, just for the fun of it.
And you know what? It's got a full-fledged Cobra Commander, just like he looks like in the cartoon with the
Shit, that's awesome.
Yeah, I even heard they got the guy who does the voice for Starscream as his voice.
Oh, Frank Welker.
Yeah, but he doesn't sound like that same voice. I read the director tried it, but it just was a little too ridiculous, so they dialed it back a little bit.
Well, that's cool.
We're going to make cake history.
I need to see it.
There's some fun scenes in it. Later.
The whole, you're going to go see the movie just for the Snake Eyes attack on the monastery in the Himalayas or wherever the hell it is.
Yeah, that's what you told me to see for.
That whole sequence, after it was over, I was like, that was pretty badass, you know, that whole sequence. Because Snake Eyes is such a badass. This movie gets Snake Eyes right. He doesn't have a weird mouth on his mask this time.
You got a weird mouth.
You got a purdy map, boy.
Oh, God.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Too far.
It's way too far.
You should not do that ever.
Sorry.
We also had, you know what? What else did we have while we were gone? I think my favorite pronunciation was John Travolta's of Les Miserables.
Les Miserables.
That he did at the Oscars, that cracked me up.
Supposed to hip it up and just do Les Mis.
Yeah, Les Mis. But that god-awful wig that he was wearing was also pretty great.
You mean his paste-on head?
Yeah.
He's got an incredible paste-on head, Bill.
Yes, he does. You can see like the plugs of the wig. Looks like Barbie head.
What does he look like bald? He was in that movie where he was bald, right? He looks fine. Just go bald.
Yeah, he looks fine. I don't understand.
Yeah, just freaking
maybe he just hasn't cleared those thetans that, you know, make hair grow.
It's like Joey Lawrence, dude. Just friggin'.
Now he looks weird bald.
He does. He looks weird either way. He's screwed.
Yeah, he looks really weird bald.
Whoa, unbelievable.
He hosts, or he's the co-host on that Splash.
Take off.
Splash! Oh my god! Yeah. Dude, what's funny is Fox had their diving show first. This is so weird. They had their diving show first.
Mm-hmm.
It bombed. Miserably.
And it had all the same people on it. Now that would be great.
It bombed horribly. Nobody watched it. Lowest ratings ever. Immediately canceled. I had it on the TV and I was like, God, this is awful. Splash premieres on ABC. It's a friggin' hit. People are watching it with Louis Anderson diving into the pool. Louis. Remember that cartoon with Louis Anderson? I'm cracking myself up. I'm sorry, Bill. Go ahead.
Oh, you farted.
Bill, are you there?
Shit, my mic's just muted.
Take off.
No, the only reason it's popular is because it's on before Dancing with the Stars.
And
I was watching it the other night with my dad because he watches Dancing with the Stars. And I go, oh, Louis Anderson, that's Lonnie Anderson's brother. And he looked at me and went, really?
Oh, no! Why would you do that?
No, it's not.
No, 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 no.
But yeah, it's so bad.
The way they
were doing double dives, and it was Louis and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Well, good lord!
And all he had to do was just fall backwards. Like, there was no flips or anything. Just fall backwards and dive in.
10 people you'll meet in hell.
And I swear to God, it just... It looked so wrong. Like, it just... It's so bad. The only reason to tune into it is the hot Miss USA girl that is the girlfriend of one of the football players, and the only reason she's popular is because one of the commentators talked about how hot she was while the camera was on her.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think her name's Catherine Webb. She's just stunning. And they always have her in the most absurd one-piece, like, bathing suits that show the stomach and the back and just enough of the buns. It's like, it's so obvious that they're, like, using it to show certain parts of her off. It's really kind of sad.
We're making bacon buns,
and they show all of Louis Anderson. It's just,
oh yeah,
it's really hot. Yeah. As in, like, heat rash hot.
Woo-hoo! That's what I like.
Zero Dark 30. Zero Dark 30 came out on Blu-ray.
The Squeakquel.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The Hobbit.
The last Conan episode was called Zero Dark 32, The Squeakquel.
Squeakquel.
Okay, Zero Dark 30, really long movie. I will never watch it again, but it was pretty good when I saw it for the performances.
Yeah, it did not sit well with me.
It's some disturbing shit in it, you know?
God. You know what took me out of it immediately?
The torture scenes?
I thought the opening of it was in horrible taste.
I'm trying to remember.
The black screen with the voices, the clips of the...
Dude, I've seen...
One calls.
I've seen two things begin that same way since that. G.I. Joe has a moment like that in the beginning. Do you remember that? Where it goes black for a second? And, oh, I remember it is... The most recent Die Hard opens with a black screen with just sound effects of guns and stuff.
Yeah, I can handle that, but whenever you're dealing with like something
reality?
That actually happened, I know they're trying to build like up the gravity of it and everything, but it just like totally soured me. Like I was like, that's just not. These are these people's last moments, and to use them in a film, you know, that's not a documentary about these people. It just felt wrong to me.
Right.
Like it literally pissed me off to the point where I could not enjoy the movie. It just, all of a sudden, I just went into full-on cynical, I hate this mode.
Maybe they re-recorded it.
No, they used the actual voices because there's a family that's actually suing the studio because they didn't get approval for it.
Oh.
To use their child's last moments.
That's some disturbing shit. When you get into that kind of thought, like I never even thought of that, but I do hate that kind of shit. Reality sucks. You know, we go to the movies to escape. We know we're going to see this movie because it's something that really
happened.
Based
on reality.
Yeah, we know that going in, but sometimes you're not prepared for what you're going to watch, and sometimes I wonder if, like, maybe should I be watching this? But I think I can handle it. Like, I always get bothered by people like something like Schindler's List. I will not watch that movie. It's too depressing or whatever. But I'm like, this shit really happened. You should do it, you know. But maybe you shouldn't. Some people can't take it. Some people can. I don't know. But stuff like that, it is, you know, it's a movie.
Yeah.
I say if you're gonna put a scene like that in there, re-record it with actors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly. Maybe it would have been a little easier to handle than the actual 911 calls of like the woman saying, "Oh, it's getting so hot. It's so hot. Tell my husband I love him." And stuff like that. Just
it's supposed to be when you watch the movie, you're so mad you can't wait till the end when Bin Laden gets killed.
Yeah, to me, it just felt exploitative, you know, or exploitive. It just,
it's a movie about that subject matter, though.
So. Yeah, yeah, it is, but it's still a fictional retelling of something. It's not like a. I feel the only time to use that would be appropriate is if it was a documentary documenting the lives of those people.
Right.
You know, up to that, you know, and it ruined it for me. And then automatically I was like, screw this movie, screw this, these people. I'm pissed off. Because even really? Like, I was even like, I like went too far with it on Twitter and I was jabbing back and forth with Heather about it. Mm-hmm. And she was like, is he joking or is he being serious? Because then I was like, oh shit, I took it too far. And I was, you know, because the movie just really rubbed me the wrong way.
Right. I just tell her honestly to just, I was like, you got to unfollow him.
Yeah, unfollow him.
Because I can't do that go between like, Bill, you need to stop.
Yeah, exactly.
Or whatever. So she needs to just block you, I think.
Block it. Don't ever see another thing I post because no, I'm
just,
an asshole.
I just said, just ignore him.
Take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like he's obviously got some kind of stick up his ass or something.
Yep. Massive. Huge.
No, I can totally
understand.
It's
his opinion. He can have it.
I can understand your way of thinking on that. I honestly didn't think of that. Maybe it did occur to me. I don't know. But
I guess because I had a friend that actually perished in it. And I've said it before. It just I get really sensitive about it.
I can understand. Like
and that came out, and then of course Argo came out while we were gone on Blu-ray, which is
I enjoyed Argo.
Really good movie.
It is. It's one of those movies that's it's a really good movie. It's not really a performance type driven movie though. You know?
No, it isn't.
Like you wouldn't award anybody best actor in the movie.
It's a situation movie.
Yeah, it is, and it's really well made. I still think it's bullshit Ben Affleck was not nominated for Best Director.
It is bullshit.
I did think it was cool that Ang Lee won for Life of Pi, but Life of Pi didn't win for Best Picture. I just prefer Best Director, Best Picture to win, you know?
And the entire thing that's going on with Rhythm and Hughes, the CGI company that is going under, and they weren't really recognized for their work at all, and then the guy that did try to bring them up was cut off by the Jaws theme. And
dude, can I just say that about the Oscars, that Jaws thing, I didn't like it all.
I felt it was inappropriate
when
it, just
when people were running out of time as they were giving their acceptance speech, they would do dun 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 dun. It meant hurry up. And I thought it was tacky.
I was wondering if they even ran that by Universal or Stephen King or, you know, John Williams or anything like that. Steven Spielberg. I was looking at my Dark Tower two ports to the left of me for some reason.
King. John Williams did not intend that to be used that way.
Yeah.
That's the cake boss Jaws, Foggy. Come on.
We don't have the rights to the real one.
Yeah, we don't have the rights. They should have played the cake boss one.
Oh, and of course, Wreck-It Ralph came out on 3D Blu-ray.
Some bad hat, Harry.
Wreck-It Ralph, I love it. We own it. Got it for the Emma.
The Emma,
Did you get it? You bought it for Emma, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I did.
She
yep,
loves
I bought it.
It
from the Emma.
We've watched it several times. We watch it in 3D, Bill.
Excellent.
And it looks gorgeous. And
I love your 3D TV. That was just awesome once we figured out what was going on with your Blu-ray player.
It was so funny. I've never had a problem with anything, my TV, the 3D player, or anything. When Bill, I sit him down, we're going to watch it, can't get it to work. And I'm freaking out. What the hell is going on? And I'm like, Bill, I've never had a problem with it.
Plasma rocks it over LCD, yo.
And then I showed him my subwoofers, and Bill was like,
whoa, bodacious subwoofers, yo.
No, he didn't say that, but we figured out what was wrong. It was kind of a weird memory thing.
Yeah, it was like too much memory had been used up that was internal, and you had to plug a USB memory
like
on the back of it.
The player saves the information when you play movies. and it was filled up.
Yep.
And you have to dump it to play it again. And it's really weird. So Bill read that you could actually stick a thumb drive in there. Was it a 4 gigabyte one?
It was a 4, because I was going to give you my 16. I was like, here's the 16.
I used a 4 gigabyte one that I don't use anymore, and I stuck that in the back, and that worked. So basically, if I ever have the problem again, I'll immediately dump the memory. That'll be what it is. But I didn't know. It's crazy.
Yeah, I'd heard that on like AVS form or something, and I just had remembered it. Like, hey, you should try that. Like,
what the F is going on?
But it was stunning to watch like Paranorman again and the opening scenes, and then that scene you showed me from the Madagascar movie.
Madagascar 3.
Holy shit.
That movie's just, like, 3D is excellent. It's just gorgeous.
It's and to see it like that way, I'd never watched Active Shutter 3D before. Uh-huh. And you always hear like about crosstalk and all that. I didn't see a bit of it. In fact, it looked clearer than like the passive projection 3D.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy it. I don't watch a lot of 3D movies, but when I do, it's a lot of fun. And I'm just like, oh, nice. I mean, yeah, my eyes are tired afterwards. I don't think I could watch two back-to-back in the same evening, but it's awesome, though. I mean, like, I want The Hobbit in 3D so bad, and I haven't been able to get it yet.
Yeah. I stare at my 3D Blu-rays like, I can't wait to watch that.
But one thing, Bill, you got me some Blu-rays while you were here.
Yeah.
Which you didn't need to do.
But I wanted to. Did you watch Abraham Lincoln yet?
No, I have not.
That's the one I want to hear the most about. Like, I want to hear what you thought of it.
I want someone to watch it with me. I want to watch it with Steven or my dad or something.
The Vampire Killer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Hunter? Which one is it?
I can never remember.
It's called Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Okay.
But I watched Avatar. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, yeah, Avatar looks good in 3D. Dude, it looks awesome in 3D.
Yeah, it's incredible in 3D.
Freaking awesome. You know?
Plasma I just wish it was that LCD, extended cut.
I know! It's like the extended cut. Why isn't it that? And Tron Legacy looks incredible in 3D.
Yeah.
It's cool because part of the first part of the movie is not in 3D, when he's in the real world. I mean, it kind of is, but it's not like... doesn't go
They're
crazy.
Not playing with the depth.
But then when he goes to the grid, then it's like, whoa! They do a good job of setting you up for it.
It's kind of the Alice in Wonderland, Jesus.
Or Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz, yeah.
Dude, that's the best part of Oz, when it's black and white at the beginning, and then it goes color, and it's like, nice!
Yeah, and I just loved how Sam Raimi played with the framing and the using the 4:3, you know, Academy ratio,
yeah,
but then...
the box, you know.
Yeah, but using the blackness around it.
He has objects coming out where they go into the black area of the screen. It's really
like
cool.
Like birds or the fire.
One thing I've always loved about Sam Raimi, and you know, there's a lot of people who, you know, will naysay Sam Raimi, but that dude lays in bed when he's supposed to be sleeping, dreaming up shots in his head. When you watch the movie and you see how imaginative stuff is,
so
you know,
innovative.
Yeah, he's been thinking about it like for a long time.
Awesome. Psychedelic.
Yeah.
Stunning, epic.
Awesome. Steven, innovative. You're using that word way too much. Innovative? Come on.
Can you even think him laying there with his envisionment of the... sorry.
Quite frankly,
of his awesomeness.
Girl, I do think
quite
that.
Frankly, it's incredible.
Sarah, dude, when I...
I got nothing.
There are shots in Darkman. You know, some people are like, oh, it's a silly movie, whatever. There are some incredible shots in Darkman. Like the Ramo cam, where they're taking his head and slamming it into the glass, but the camera is going into each glass part, you know? I love it.
All right, and now we're going to go to the DVDs that are released this Tuesday. I'm sure we left things off, but we are going to start with Django, or is it The Django Unchained?
No, Bill, the D is silent.
Oh, okay. So that's coming out.
I saw Django. I saw it with Heather. There's parts that are very disturbing, very hard to watch, and also some parts that you laugh at that probably you shouldn't.
Yeah.
And I actually don't think I laughed very much in the film. I was taking it in a weird way. Like, some people would laugh, and I would almost think, Don't laugh at that.
Why are you laughing at that? That's not supposed to be funny. Yeah. You know what? I'm glad it's out on Blu-ray now, because I'm going to keep an eye on fanedit.com to see them edit about the last 40 minutes off of it. And then I'll rewatch it.
Christoph Waltz he deserved that Oscar. He's fantastic.
Oh my God, didn't he ever? That was probably the most deserving Oscar win of the night.
And I did love the squibs in the movie. Just like gallons of blood.
Yeah, I was talking to a young guy that is a housekeeper there at my dad's facility, who's a big movie nerd, and we were talking about Django today, about the squibs, like how much blood do you think they actually had in those?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how big were the squibs, and how did they hide them?
And you know what? I did laugh. There's one part where he's like, say goodbye to Miss So-and-so, and they're like, bye, Miss So-and-so, and then it's like, bam, and she flies off the screen. I laughed out loud at that, and that was probably like, should I have laughed out loud at that?
Yeah, that was great. That was right at the end, right? Whenever, like, cut the standoff.
But, yeah. Quentin Tarantino, he's a gifted filmmaker. He's a crazy dude. The movie... Okay, this is... His editor died.
Seth Mank. Yeah. Right.
She died. And
yeah, and I think that's why this one is so sloppy.
I don't think it's sloppy. It's just long, you know.
I don't want to sloppy in a way that it's his overindulgence got the better of him.
Did she die?
I don't think sloppy is the right word, though.
She died while he was shooting it.
Okay.
She died of heat exhaustion, I believe.
Yeah, she was hiking.
On a hike.
Yeah,
but there's a scene in Kill Bill Part 2 that I'm like, oh my God, get on with it. It's the part where, I've talked about this before on the show, I just repeat myself, I don't know why you guys listen.
We all do, it's fine.
David Carradine's playing the flute and talking for a long time. And I'm like, cut this entire scene out of the movie, because I'm bored out of my mind. I never honestly felt that way in Django. I did think there was a problem at the end where... He gets captured and has to escape again. That didn't need to be in the movie.
Yeah.
It should have been the standoff and ended there.
Yep.
It wasn't really necessary, but I wasn't bored from it. In Kill Bill 2, that part, I was like, come on, you know, but it's just because the scene was boring. You know,
I got annoyed because that's the scene he chose to insert himself into. Whereas in his other films, where if he inserts himself into a scene, the scene is actually entertaining. Like the scene in Pulp Fiction, just as an example.
I think that, you know, we kind of laughed at first when we saw him, like, oh, there's Quentin. But he kind of hurt the scene. He didn't need to be.
He did.
He just, because it's like, oh, there's Quentin Tarantino. He honestly shouldn't have been in the scene because he messed it up. Like,
cause it just felt like, hey, there's Michael Parks. He needed to throw him in there somewhere, too.
I didn't think that because I don't know who you're talking about.
the actor that like he's almost always in his movies. He was the sheriff.
Okay, yeah, he was the sheriff from Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah,
and in the Grindhouse. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah,
he's good though. He's got a good
fame, right? Michael Parks, or
he's got a good movie face. He's good. But Quentin just was awful. Why
not
is
a good
he in
movie
there?
Face.
Like he, why are you in the movie? You're ruining it.
he definitely doesn't have a movie face
behind the camera. Steve.
Robert Carradine is in the movie for a very short amount of time, but it's funny seeing him in there just for a moment.
And it's his body hanging over the back of a closet door
from King of the Nerds, Bill.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said David Carradine.
No, Robert Carradine. That's in poor taste, Bill. What the hell?
Well, I still think it's funny that Robert Carradine and Booker. Shit.
Curtis Armstrong?
Bruce Armstrong. Yeah, they went on Howard Stern and they brought up the David Carradine thing, and Robert Carradine still thinks it was like a conspiracy that his brother was murdered by, like, mob members in Thailand or something.
Well, yeah, he thinks he was murdered. Because we kind of talked about that a long time ago in the show, that, like, there's no way he could have gotten... Jesus, Bill, do you not re-listen to the shows?
Sometimes,
there's no way he could have gotten himself in the situation he was in by himself, is what a lot of people said.
Okay.
But it's his brother. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's true. You never want to think the worst. In bad taste, I know.
Well, that is the worst. No. That is very poor taste. Boo, Bill.
Yeah, I know. I'm Boo. Awful. I'm terrible. all right, so Django Unchained. Next, Repo Man on the Criterion Collection Blu-ray. This is a movie I could never get behind for some reason. Like, people love Repo Man, but I'm just not a fan.
Which one? I mean, there's...
It's a cult classic.
The Emilio Estevez, version? The Alex Cox film.
Which
the
version? Alex Cox.
Well, there's the other Repo Man that... what's his name?
Not the Forrest Whitaker movie.
Yeah.
No. Oh, good lord.
No, the Emilio movie.
Right.
Yeah. There's a Forrest Whitaker Repo Man film?
No, he's talking about Repo Men.
Repo Men.
Oh! Sorry. Yeah, that...
And I asked...
The but, one with this is the one with Harry Dean Stanton and
it's a crazy
movie. Love me
movie.
Some Harry Dean.
Yeah, it's a crazy movie.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was one of those movies that I was told over and over again in high school, like, you gotta see it, you gotta see it, you gotta see it. And when I finally saw it, I was like, what the fuck did I just watch? What is what? Why? Huh? Chevy Malibu? What? So I just not a big fan. Next is, of course, The Haunting in Connecticut 2, The Ghosts of Georgia. So they went from Connecticut to Georgia, and there's apparently ghosts there. So there you go.
It's a ghost in a car drove there to Connecticut.
A Chevy Malibu.
Was it also known as what?
Christine. I got nothing.
Wow.
Yeah, neither do I.
I was changing the name.
And now I'm just trying to find what else is worthy of mentioning. Nothing. That's pretty much it for this week.
Come on, there's got to be one more movie.
Oh, you farted!
Wasn't me. How about Not Suitable for Children? Not Suitable for Children.
What's that?
It has Ryan, the Sookie's brother from True Blood.
Take off.
Oh yeah, Ryan. That guy.
Quentin.
Ryan Quanten, I believe.
Quanten, yes. But that's it. I mean, honestly, that is it. There is, that's it.
I still want the Hobbit.
The Hobbit is. Oh, and you know what's crazy is next week. Jurassic Park 3D is already on Blu-ray.
But it's in theaters.
I know. I was so confused.
You know, when we took him in to see Monsters, Inc. in 3D, and I'd realize, sitting there in the first few minutes, I go, we've seen this movie like 100 times. What the hell are we doing here in the theater?
In the theater, yeah.
And I've seen Jurassic Park so many times, I wonder if I'd be in the theater going... Why the hell am I in the movie theater watching this movie? I've seen it a million times.
And I think that's going to be the third Blu-ray release for Jurassic Park, because they released the set, and just recently they released them separately.
Do you remember back in the day that...
Then there's the collector
GTS
set.
DVD.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah.
That was the. There was like a whole series of the DTS ones that you had to get a hold of, like that and the Saving Private Ryan.
I still
think
Jurassic Park 2 is a hunkin' pile of shit.
Yeah, but it's got Vince Vaughn, man.
No, it's got so many stupid moments in it. I have such a problem with the guy listening to headphones to music while in a freaking jungle with dinosaurs. He's listening to his Walkman or whatever.
What about the T-Rex in San Diego?
No. Oh, what about the part? No, he can't kill the T-Rex. Why? Vince Vaughn takes his bullets and puts everyone in danger. Everyone who dies in that scene, it's Vince Vaughn's fault.
He's a murderer.
Yeah, it's his fault. Because he's all like, you can't kill the dinosaurs or whatever. And remember they take the baby dinosaur?
Yeah.
Oh my god, that movie annoys the shit out of me.
It's terrible.
The whole part with the Pancakes House guy from Fargo, where he's like, I gotta go pee. It's like, you're in a jungle full of dinosaurs, pee in front of all these dudes. It's a bunch of guys.
You don't
man.
Have to walk that
just
far.
Just take
off
it out.
Pee.
No one
I'm
cares.
I'm going to walk about 50 feet away from you guys. I'm going to go pee. Yeah. They never see him again and never knows. Remember, he tells the guy who has headphones on, he goes, I'm going to go pee. I'll be right over here. And the guy's not listening. Even mm-hmm. though he's in a place with man-eating creatures, he's not paying attention to his surroundings.
Well, they just assume he went to Pancake's house.
Go to Pancake's. Oh, he just went to Pancake's house. Yeah. Oh, my God. That movie, I can sit and watch it like it's been on HBO, and I'm just like I get angry at it because it's so stupid. And I haven't, you know, you guys probably thought I would bring this up, but I didn't bring up the girl doing gymnastics and kicking the raptor. I didn't even bring that up.
Oh, my God. I forgot all about that.
Where's Pancake's house?
And they cut you from the team?
She does, yeah. She does gymnastics.
Oh, my God. I can't
believe a raptor, Bill.
Holy shit, the more I even think about The Lost World, I'm shocked at how bad it is.
Stop at Pancakes,
though. You from the team.
Also, a dog gets eaten in the movie. Boo! Whenever the dog dies, boo! And also, they show a part where Japanese guys are running from the T-Rex because you're supposed to get a Godzilla thing. Thank you, Steven Spielberg. Thank you.
What was he thinking?
I don't know. Cash in.
Oh, did he actually? He didn't actually direct that.
And I know this. How about this? No. Jeff Goldblum's daughter in the movie. Let's make her a black daughter. Yeah.
Well, it's because Steven Spielberg has
hip.
Children.
Yeah, it's hip, Bill.
It's totally normal.
I still can't get over they take the bullets away, so everyone dies.
That's just the way it works in that movie.
She does gymnastics on a raptor.
But if he was a real hunter...
gymnastics on a raptor.
She does gymkata on a raptor.
Oh my God, it's crazy villagers. Get on the horse.
Shoot her!
But had he been a real hunter, he would have checked his gun before shooting.
He probably would have had more than two bullets, I would hope, also.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, what actor
was
that?
I loved it. I put it into Google, and it's like the first thing that pops up. Jurassic Park 2 Velociraptor scene.
It's so bad.
Right there. Wow. This is awful.
And it makes no sense how everyone... Remember when the boat shows up? They're like shipping the T-Rex.
Yeah.
But the boat shows up and nobody's on it. And there's just body parts and stuff because the T-Rex came out and ate everyone
and then
goes back
in.
It doesn't make any sense, does it?
No.
Like, it's a giant T-Rex. I don't understand. How did the boat not capsize? Oh, whatever, Bill. Let's move on.
Yeah, I'm just... Oh, my God. Here she is swinging on the bar, and she kicks it through the window.
She kicks a velociraptor.
And it lands on
And it lands
tractor.
On a spike!
I thought Jurassic Park 3 was much more entertaining.
Yeah, Jurassic Park 3 was actually, it was like an apology.
Yeah, and it had the pterodactyls finally. We got
I actually like Jurassic Park 3. I mean, it's not great, but it's more enjoyable than 2.
And well, at the end of the first one, there are pterodactyls flying. They're not in a cage.
No, those are just birds.
No.
Those are just
birds. No!
No.
Which movie?
At the end of the first one.
Jurassic Park when they're in the helicopter? No, those are just birds.
I'm going to have to rewatch and look at it.
The whole point of showing those is, remember, he thinks that dinosaurs evolved from birds. And so then he's looking out the window at the birds.
Holy shit, that's poignant.
It is poignant. I've decided not to endorse your island.
So have I.
All right.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go on a Jurassic Park 2 rant, but I really...
No, I'm glad you reminded me of that scene from the second one. Holy crap.
I enjoy Jurassic Park. I enjoy Jurassic Park 3.
Lost World doesn't exist.
Hate it.
So it's like the prequels of the Star Wars, kind of like it doesn't exist.
I just can't get over the guy going to take a pee. Why does he do that? Why does he take
Why does
pee?
He go so far to pee?
I'd be like, okay, we're surrounded. I got to pee. Guys, sorry.
I'm going to walk around this tree. Don't come around.
Why wouldn't he just pee at like the base of the light? You know, just pee right on the pole.
Yeah. I'd pee on a raptor's dead carcass.
I'd pee on the dude with the headphones.
He should go, pee on the raptor that was impaled by the gymnastics girl.
I feel like it's my guy, give him right.
Yeah, it is.
To pee on raptors?
I'll give him right to pee on raptors. What is happening?
Take away my gun rights, right to gay marriage, and the right to pee on raptors.
Booyaka!
All right.
All right, crazy. Bill, is that DVDs this week?
That is. That's it. I'm sorry. It's just really shitty.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you for doing the DVDs this week.
Have you ever had your genitalia so excited that it spins like a Ferris wheel in a carnival ride?
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And scene.
Pooped. You know, in that episode of Cake Boss, I forgot, there's a part where Ralph dresses up in a Spider-Man suit, and he has the shooters, the web shooters that shoot silly string, and he's running around shooting everybody, and they're like, who the hell is that? Who is it? And he's going, and he's running around, and he's going, woo, 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 and he gets Mary really good, and she's all pissed, like, who is Spider-Man? She's like, who is that? And there's a part where she's walking outside, and he's waiting for her, and she starts chasing him with, like, a squirt bottle and stuff. It's pretty funny.
It should have been Danny.
Danny? I didn't think for a second who Danny was.
He's the bizarre one.
All right, everyone. That was episode 270 of Nowhere in Mulberry Presents, episode 1 of Entertainment Landfill.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, that was episode 270. Don't worry about the show's
dash goal. One.
You know what's funny? We were gone for so long, we lost our voicemail again. But I got a new one. So leave a voicemail at 1-206-339-1239. Eventually, we will have used every number for our voicemail.
We'll repeat. We'll get right back to the old one.
Yeah. Go to NIM Podcast. I'm out of practice. Go to nowhereinmulberry.com. You can find our show, and you can also find us on Facebook in the Nowhere in Mulberry fan club.
And also, eventually, this weekend, I'll reroute the stuff to etlandfill.com and stuff like that. So
reroute what?
So that whenever, like, you can go to etlandfill.com or entertainmentlandfill.com, and it'll go right to the old page.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. I thought you were talking about the fan club.
No.
But nobody has to worry about how to get the show. I mean, if you're listening, it doesn't matter. People are like, well, how am I going to get the show? It's going to be on the same feed. Eventually, I'll change it, but nobody has to worry about anything. I'm going to give people plenty of time to get used to this, you know, and stuff like that. So also, send us any email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. I got a few, two emails of people saying, hey, like the NIM movie minis, which I thought was cool. You know, it's cool to get those all of a sudden.
That is.
Because we love feedback. We just love it. And we don't get enough of it. So please give it to us. Because
yes,
it's nice
give
to
it
hear.
To us.
It's nice to hear what people think of the show. You know? Like, I wonder what, Pete thinks of our show.
Psychedelic.
Yeah. That's cool, man. What does he think of our subwoofers on our show?
Whoa! Bodacious subwoofers, yo!
Nice. Or whatever. Oh, shit. What did I do? Okay. Never mind.
Porn, guys. Jesus.
But, Bill, it's nice to talk to you again. You know what's crazy is we went from you visited and then you got home and I didn't talk to you for weeks and weeks. It was kind of sucked. You know, because we couldn't, like, say, like, hey, what's up or whatever. But it's good to talk to you again, Bill. Bill.
He's muted his mic again.
Okay.
Oh, don't go away, man. Just go away.
I didn't do that. I didn't. I swear to God, I didn't do that. That was the dog. The dog did it.
Bill, I can't believe this. What's going on?
I don't know.
Ah, you are going to score big time.
I am?
Nice. No, but Bill,
something I don't.
But, Bill, what I was saying was it was nice to speak to you again.
Yes, it was. It is.
And, Steven, it was nice to see you again, sir.
Yeah.
And Baby liked seeing you. Finally, she's tuckered out.
Oh, I miss Baby.
She's tuckered out, isn't she?
Well, I thought I heard her in the kitchen eating
something. Nope, she's right here. You know what's funny? Right when the show was beginning, she was jumping all around. I go, her collar! I forgot to take the collar off! And Steven was distracting her as I was, had to take it off. But, man, that would have been loud during the show. Did you ever hear her during the show, Bill?
No, not once.
I tried not to fight with her too much this time.
But it was
good. No, I have experienced the wrath of Baby. I know how difficult that is.
She likes to face lick. And I know all of a sudden she listens to me now. Like, I'll go, Baby, no. And she'll drop it and walk away. And she's just doing that. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Well, she's, you know, she's calming down a little, getting a little older.
I hope so.
Reaching that 1 year mark.
Yeah, she shredded a bunch of stuff during the show.
When I turned around, I was like, oh my God, there's like shit everywhere. Stuffing, pieces of. She gets like rocks and chews them and then rolls around on it. Crazy dog.
You know what? Shut your mouth.
Hey! Well, guys, that was our first episode of Entertainment Landfill. I think you noticed now what we were trying to tell you is that it's the same exact show.
Yes, it's identical.
It's just a more appealing title.
It's a name
Entertainment
to get
Landfill.
More.
So
listeners.
Now, when you tell people like, "Hey, check out the show called ET Landfill," man, it's hilarious or something. But check out Nowhere Mulberry. Excuse me. What is it called?
What?
Nowhere Mulberry. Wait, no. Slow down. What? Nowhere.
In
Mulberry. What word? Mulberry. Spell it. M-U-L.
You don't spell it, you say it.
Is it about jam? Berries?
Some weird trees?
Come on. I forget it. I'm not listening to your stupid little show.
I can't find that show anywhere.
Mulberry Street?
Come on, listen to it.
It's going to be chill.
It's going to be chill,
is
man.
Is it about Freddy Krueger? No, that's Elm.
It's Elm. Not Mulberry. It's down one.
And then tell the people.
Smooches.
Yes. All right, everyone. See you next time. Bye. Woo.
Bye,
see
guys.
You
there.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, don't go away, man. Just go away.
But he's a jerk.
I almost pooped.
Now this is podcasting.
I was gonna poop in my pants. I almost pooped.
Saying you wanna go up in the bathroom.
I'm ready to seriously like tear it up.
Wow.
Feng shui, y'all. I can dig it.
You should not do that ever.
I can't worry about another bitch's problem. I need to worry about my problem.
Oh, you farted.
I did what I had to do.